services, Lavazzi at boom1.co.uk present the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 234. There's a running number there, 234, isn't that good? I'm Adam, and what do you know about the Prion planetary system? And here's Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Thanks be to Ty.
Deborah Melrose.
Well observed, General Grugger. I am the plant.
And she's back. Mary Lang.
Let's hope that many hands will make the lights work.
Mm. Did you like my introduction there? It was very podcast, Podshock-esque. That went right over Debbie's head. By the way, that's another podcast, Debbie. That's never mind.
Fair enough.
It's a good podcast. It's how I found the 20 megabyte.
Is it?
I haven't listened to it since it's came back. So
I haven't either.
Unfortunately,
but about half of the other things taken up with adverts about themselves, and I tend to get slightly distracted. Right, this week we're going to be doing a commentary. Why did I agree to this? Of Megloss, because I haven't had a chance to watch it.
Why did you agree to it?
Well, there was two options. One's I should say, right, we're going to do a review on Megloss. Take it away, Debbie. I'll go in the other one, put my feet up and watch some telly. Or I get the chance to actually watch it via commentary, or as they call it in America. I do need to, see, I'm very tired. A commentary. Go on, Terry.
Now,
get on with it. Yes?
Isn't there a convention coming up that you guys are going to, or at least Debbie?
No. Debbie's very faint because she's not with me this week. She's sort of, she's about 100
Debbie?
Yards away.
She's down the road or around the corner.
Debbie?
No.
About
yeah.
Debbie?
Mistress, yeah. Are you going to that convention next week?
I'm trying to.
Are you?
Yay! Excellent.
What does trying consist of?
Waiting for the last payday of the family and seeing how cost effective it is.
Oh, I see. So you've had your part of the payday, now you're waiting for the rest of it to come through.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I'm looking forward to pictures if you go.
I suppose I could have done, but unfortunately I spent my PPI money on the replacement of our back door, which is coming to the end of its life, so unfortunately I had to pay out some money on that. That came. Ooh. Security of the house took over priority rise in relation to Doctor Who conventions. Meanwhile, Megloss, right, are we all ready? Have we got it all queued up, ready for me to do a countdown on the play? I don't know if I should play it on play all. Are we playing all, or are we doing individual episodes?
I can only do individual episodes.
Yeah, I will do individual episodes then. I'll
and I can and only do individual
change
episodes.
Change the menu settings on this so I can... Right,
mainly. Because there's so much plot stretching in this, we should get it done with an hour and a half.
Good grief. I might have
really?
To duck out a couple of times. If I go very quiet, it's probably because I've fallen asleep. As I said, I'm very tired. Hence, I'm not able to articulate myself properly. Debbie's going to help me, aren't you, Debbie?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mouthful of supper, sorry.
Pardon? Oh, I heard myself. Hello, me.
Hello.
Oh, I don't hear myself now.
Hello.
Right then, let's do a countdown then. Ready? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, play.
Probably ooh, it's a title sequence.
No, it isn't yet. It hasn't come into it. Now it's a title sequence. It says Doctor Who theme, because I've got subtitles on. Now, if you are deaf and you've never heard the Doctor Who theme, just the words Doctor Who theme do not really have any sort of bearing on the tune that we all get to hear.
True, yeah. Cool. Yeah. I always found that interesting, yes.
Of course, you have missed out big time. Although this version of the theme is not the best, it's one of them. Megloss by John Flanagan and Andrew McCulloch. Is that, I wonder if he's any relation to Kef McCulloch, who was a terrible
I don't know. I can look him up.
Composer. I thought you might.
He did provide, one of them did provide his house for Logopolis.
Did he?
Yes.
Yeah. Right. I say the Doctor and Romana are in the console room. I do like the Doctor's waistcoat. It's very velvety and stuff.
unfortunately, he has these stupid question marks on his lapels.
Yeah, I don't mind the question marks. Don't mind them at all.
This is the era when the 19th century poets, the romantic poets, were all emulated here, and the fashions were very velvet and lace, which we'll see later with Romana.
Yeah, Romana's outfit when she goes out onto the surface.
Yeah, that's amazing.
June
Hudson said that Romana's later costume was based on Little Lord Fauntleroy.
Yeah, which is very much of its time in fashion in the late 70s, early 80s.
But does this episode or story not follow straight on? I'm going to yawn. I told you I was tired. Straight after the, what was that one called again?
Leisure Hive?
Yeah, no, the Leisure Hive.
Yes, that's why Romana's wearing that same bathing outfit.
Yeah, and they're fixing K-9 because he's been in the water.
Apparently, poor K-9.
Apparently now, though, even if your phone's fallen in the water, you can get it repaired. So they obviously didn't quite have that technology in those days. And then we're on some weird planet where they wear purple snood things and have very strange sort of blonde versions of the same haircut they had in, was it UFO or something?
UFO, yes. Yeah. Well, no, those were specifically known to be wigs in the UFO universe. That was part of the uniform of the Moonbase girls.
Yes, but they were sort of purple, weren't they? A bit like
yes.
Stephanie from Lazy Town.
Yes.
Oh, good. So I knew someone. I could rely on you for knowing what I was talking about.
Well, I like their uniforms.
Although Lazy Town is on in America, but ironically, Stephanie has a British accent. All the other characters have American accents. No, I'm joking. Well, do apologise. Oh, sorry, I'm supposed to be commentating on an episode.
Yes.
I? Yeah, sorry, yeah.
The ping pong balls on the eyes.
I
wonder about that. Yeah,
I think there's a lot of unintentional humour in this story.
Unintentional?
Unintentional?
Like the ping balls and the ping... Yeah, the ping pong balls in the eyes.
Find the camera work in this first couple of scenes is... awful, just switching between the people who are obviously waiting for their cue to talk.
You reckon?
Each time it switches.
I couldn't say because I didn't get to see it. Oh, it's me again. Hello, me. Yeah, I was just thinking that the word blasphemy came up and made me think of a good friend of ours at the show, Mr. Kirby Bartlett Sloan. Oh, look, and there's Barbara. I wonder if we all got to see Barbara at the same time.
This first whole episode thinking, that looks like Barbara. That's got to be Barbara.
Typically so, you, Mary.
It wasn't until, the credits that it's like, it was Barbara.
I couldn't place her. I couldn't place her for ages.
I knew about this before I ever saw the story. And this was, the other day was the first time I ever saw this story.
Well, only because.
She was in it.
Only because when we had.
It's kind of a backward step. Usually people go from minor characters to major.
Well, her hair's grown a lot since she was in.
Well, one thing, the idea of her, you notice that the other guards or the other, what are, Deons, who you can see their hair, everyone on the planet has white hair. It's just some of them cut it in funny ways.
Okay.
So those white braids are actually their hair?
That's supposed to be their hair, yes.
Oh, okay. I understand that she came back after taking time off to be a mom.
Yes.
And came back looking for more television work, and look where she ended up.
Yeah.
J&T said that this experiment of bringing back an old companion in a non-companion role was not, it didn't work out the way he expected, so he never did it again.
What did he expect?
Don't know.
Dodecahedron, did he say?
But obviously he did bring back companions later.
Yes, he did.
Like in the two doctors.
But they were playing
as companions, they're supposed
to be, yes. Unfortunately, you interrupted me, and now I've completely forgotten what I was going to say, especially with my mind as vegetabilized as it is at the moment. So I do apologize to listeners who were expecting me to say something, because I've forgotten what I was going to say. Thank you, Kirby.
It's just savants that have their hair cut.
Savant, sorry, whatever.
Is it just them that have the hair cut, silly?
Yes, it's part of.
Well,
what
does.
You need...
Mr. Snoodman doesn't have his hair cut, silly.
No, he's... the savants. Yeah. The savants, that's part of being a savant, apparently.
Or having a haircut.
Maybe it's their uniform.
They're serious scientific people. Why have a silly haircut?
Why not?
They're lucky to be in a position to have a haircut.
But when your mind is on science, it's not supposed to be on fashion or your hair or your nails or anything. It's just supposed to be science.
Master?
You talking to me?
Yes. Oh. The TARDIS wall panels in this case, remember I was mentioned the backwards TARDIS wall panels last week. Mm. These TARDIS wall panels, these are brand new ones because the old ones had been wearing out. So they built new ones that this is the first time they used them, although we actually saw them earlier in the season because a later recorded story was broadcast earlier.
Thank you for that. Debbie, take it away. I'm starting to fall asleep.
I don't know how close I am in screaming my Daily Motion because it decided to go funny. Where are you up to?
I'm up to the bit where... it's me again. Hello, me! I'm up to the bit where they're all sort of in a little sort of burgundy-coloured room having an argument.
Yes.
Yes.
With the lead guy, what's his name?
Zastor.
Zestor, calming them all down.
Calming them? It still looked like they were... Oh, he was the elder sort of clever man, was it?
Edward Underdown, who played Zastor, by the way, at this point he was rather sickly. He didn't have much longer to live.
Oh, that's
he was
so on cheerful.
He was entirely on a liquid diet during this.
No, talking about diets, I've got a Snickers bar in front of me, which may well have to be unwrapped and eaten just to keep me going. Carry on.
Speaking of sickly, I read that Tom Baker was pretty sick during this whole year of filming Doctor Who.
Yep.
And his hair went so lank that the hair we see now is from having been in curlers. They had to curl his hair.
I thought they had to perm it.
Well, maybe they permed it too. But
Right. Yeah, this was the same time we commented about that when we did Full Circle as well.
Yeah.
And Full Circle had been recorded before this one. He was starting to recover
by this point,
but they still had to curl his hair.
We're just seeing a quite important part of the story in relation to special effects, because they created this sort of model of this dish and stuff. And they perfected this new technique of panning across. So as a character...
Using the CSO, yes.
Yeah.
They only did this in... Episode 1,
yeah.
Episode 4, which was also set in the same model, they didn't do that. The production team was not charged for the use of this technology because this was an experiment. They eventually went to use it and did use it successfully in the BBC's production of The Borgias. And so this was just a trial.
Hmm.
And J&T didn't like it.
No, but there was an interesting feature on it. I remember on the DVD.
I thought it
worked well.
Yeah.
Hmm. We can see it's CSO, but I think it did add to the effect very well.
Yeah.
It's nice because they really do look small next to it.
Yeah. They do. Yeah.
Dinky.
Bill Fraser, who plays I can't remember his name though. The character. It's a window because I've seen it. Yeah. Now Bill Fraser's he's a cracking actor, or was I should say. But what else was he in, Debbie? You'll know.
I'm not sure. I was trying to place him, but I've seen him glowering.
I think he was on radio with John Pertwee in the army thingy, whatever John Pertwee was in.
He was Mr. McCalber in the TV dramatization of
Maybe
David Copperfield.
Yeah.
He was the replacement for Bill Hartnell in
the Army Game.
Army Game, yeah.
Hmm. Meanwhile, they've sort of abducted a human being.
Yeah, I wish that was answered.
I was teasing a friend of mine earlier today because the actor who plays the Earthling is named Christopher Owen, and my friend's name is Christopher Owen. You're an Earthling.
That aspect of the story sort of really did remind me of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I don't know if you've heard of it, Kirby. It's It was a British drama series, sort of from the late.
I got early
a big blocky ship like that. Yeah,
I got no vibe at all of a hitchhiker.
No, I'm afraid. I'm sorry, but it did. And there was no pajamas, but it did remind me of it.
There's a wonderful bit in the later episode where the ship takes off and it's blatantly someone's hand moving it.
Oh, really?
Shudders. It takes off and you can't see the side. Yeah, there's a hand just lifting it and taking it.
Actually, yes, there's a hand holding a broomstick, which is stuck up its rear end.
That's what she said.
This is one of those moments of stretching the episode, because we have to stare at this thing rising out of the ground.
Didn't you not like that bit, Mary? Yeah, I think it's... Obviously, Mary didn't like that bit.
I turned to Fred when the model was first shown and said, it's only a model.
I think those bits for me are quite acceptable. And anyway, they wander into this little sort of room, clearly part of some sort. I don't know if it's a spaceship or that bloke starts. Is it the bad actor bloke? Is that his name?
Bad actor, yes.
Starting to nick stuff that's in there.
I think it's just a laboratory. I don't think it's a spaceship. It's
but there's a cactus in there, nonetheless. And
Brotardak,
which is an anagram of bad actor, isn't it?
Yes.
Always remember that part of their story. Just the way that he sneaks it. We have so many of that going on at the co-op, people just sort of sneaking things into their...
Do they really?
Yes, they do, yeah.
An interesting thing about the bad actor there, he's actually a very good actor named Frederick Treves, but his great uncle was the Frederick Treves who discovered Joseph Merrick, the Elephant Man.
Oh.
And he also, as an actor, had a part in the Elephant Man movie that starred
John Hurt,
the War Doctor. Yes.
Mm. But have you noticed that the cactus is looking a bit anemic? It's not quite as green as the cactus should be.
I love
the cactus was a based on a cactus.
Don't worry, Debbie, you won't get a word in edgeways.
He's based on a cactus owned by one of the authors that just happened to be sitting on his kitchen table.
Arthur who? That be Arthur Darville or King Arthur? Or?
Well, I have a trivia question for y'all. And of course, maybe if Kirby saw it in the extras, then he would know the answer. Uncredited is the voice of Megloss. Does anybody know who the voice of Megloss really was?
Megloss? I'll go on. I don't know. John Hurt.
Come on, Kirby. Didn't they put this in the notes? Oh, you're looking it up. Not fair. I was
thinking that it was probably Tom Baker.
What?
No. The voice of Megloss is that Earthling guy, Christopher Owen.
Oh.
Of course it would be, because he was inhabiting his body.
Oh, okay.
No, even from the start.
But still, it would have made sense for him to play the part, because he wasn't the human being, or whatever you call it, for the whole story, was he?
Earthling,
I do apologise. Earthling. The whole story. Mm. So, yeah, hang on.
Oh, here, I thought you'd all be so impressed.
Can you hear yourself echoing there, Mary?
Because yes.
I wanted to give you this. Oh, for
what?
God's sake, nothing, because unfortunately...
What?
iTunes has just opened up. There we go.
Oh.
Anyway, back to the story.
Yeah, go on.
Looks like he's got cherries just sort of glued to the top of his head.
Excuse me, Deb, are you criticising my Doctor Who?
No, I'm enjoying it immensely.
Master?
Yes.
The costumes... When the authors originally
proposed... Would that be Arthur Darville or King Arthur?
Arthur Dent.
Arthur English?
Arthur Dent, Arthur Dent, yes. I like that.
The script says pirates. So when they first did costumes for this and were running through rehearsals, the BBC dressed these guys up as your swashbuckling pirates. Mm-hmm. And so they... The authors saw this and went, no. So they had to quickly switch out the costumes. And these costumes were borrowed off of a BBC production of Macbeth.
Well, some of them were. These are bits and pieces from various productions. In fact, I think there's even some pieces in here from Marco Polo.
Well, there you go. Right.
Marco.
Hello.
Do you mean the hats?
Marco.
Oh, I don't know.
I thought Robert was in the room for a minute then.
I just know that they just raided the costume department at the BBC mm-hmm. and knew that some things came from Macbeth, some things came from Marco Polo, and they just were naming all these other productions that they got these pieces from.
Cool. It's really weird because the camera sort of goes on this sort of inanimate cactus quite a lot,
yes.
and it just sort of mm-hmm. speaks. When you see it with subtitles, it does look rather weird, but it's just sort of
yeah.
you know, these words suddenly appear in front of a cactus.
Yeah, I'm reading them in French. It's quite
yeah, me too. My mine are in French as
you
well.
Can't speak French.
We're looking at the same version, Debbie.
Yes,
because it's the only episode long ones.
Yeah,
Allons-y. Did they say Allons-y on it then?
Allons-y is what we came up on our little French.
You know. Oh, isn't that wonderful? You should try and do a screen capture of that, shouldn't they, Kirby?
Yes.
Yeah. Go all quiet on me, Kirby.
Well, Debbie's better at that than I am.
I'll do what I can.
Yes, sorry. I'm trying to take a picture of my...
I don't want to know what you're trying to take a picture of, please. This is a family podcast. Anyway, so yeah, the cactus and the earthling are put inside some sort of chamber thing.
Shower.
This reminded me a little bit of The Fly, only slightly.
Yes, yeah, I thought of that too when I saw this. It's like, oh no,
and Jeff
he's
Goldblum.
Gonna come out
yeah, yeah, no, they're going to come out turned into Jeff Goldblum. There's lovely little flashes of 80s retro sort of futuristic. Gadgets.
This interior reminded me of the adventure game quite a lot, actually.
I have to ask you, Kirby. Sorry to interrupt you, but this anagram of bad actor, was that deliberate or was it just
yes.
a chance? It was it?
Right. And the authors,
Arthur?
Not Arthur,
sake, come on, I mean, Arthur
said that they put that in deliberately, that they didn't expect to have a good actor like Frederick Treves to be cast. And Frederick Treves himself was highly amused when they told him, and went home to his
wife
and said...
Did he try and play it as a bad actor, though? Just as
no,
sort of, oh, yeah.
no, but he went home to his wife and said, hey, I've been cast as a bad actor.
Well, and I understand that Bill Fraser only accepted doing the part if he could kick canine, which yeah. we're about to see. Not now, but much later. He gets his chance.
Think what Bill Fraser
well, seeing
was
that, seeing that these episodes are so short, it's mm-hmm. about to see, yes.
mm-hmm.
Are you saying these episodes are very short, Kirby?
Yes.
Oh, that might,
absolutely.
That might help me.
These are the shortest Doctor Who regular episodes ever.
Yeah.
The last one is 20 minutes.
Oh, no, it's not even 20 minutes. When you take out the credits and the long... recap of episode 3, it's only 15 minutes.
Yeah, well, there you go. Right, so the cactus and, sorry, it is the cactus, isn't it? Or, as we find out, it's called Megalos. Or have we already found that out? Because you were talking, it put me right off.
Yes, and right.
They sort of merge, which allow the BBC special effects and makeup department to do some rather snazzy things with makeup. And I have to say, even now, the makeup that they used for the sort of half human, half cactus was really, really good.
Yes, yes. I like that. Yes, they're converting now. Capsid.
And that was yes. that was all I knew about this story before I
Megalos
before
is
last
collapsing.
Week.
I love the reactions.
Yeah. It's like, what the?
It does look painful, doesn't it? Because the prickles are on the outside, so it wouldn't have hurt the actor very much. And then the shot of a studio shot of the Doctor and his hat and everything, just when he had his new costume given to him.
Merci, je te regarde.
So why,
this is kind of fun reading it in French.
Translating
Stop
it back.
Getting distracted. Hang on.
She's not doing that well.
Time for a classic 20 megabyte jingle. If I can get it onto the right window, after Mary did that. See if I can find it. I've got too many jingles on my screen. It really is difficult to find them sometimes. Oh, yeah. Yes, this is for Mary.
No, not TBH.
You hear that?
No.
Do you know why
no.
I didn't hear it? Because I didn't have the speaker on. That's right.
Very
There we go.
No help, PPA.
That's good.
I did like the first time this. What do they call it? The loop, the time loop that they're in.
Oh yeah. That was really
clever. I see it as another episode stretcher because there really wasn't any point to it.
Interesting to note. The hat stand in the background, Debbie, that hasn't got the Fourth Doctor's previous costume on it like it did in another episode which we watched not so long ago, which was actually broadcast after this one. Sorry, Deb, please carry on. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Well, I did, I didn't mean to do it in a rude way.
When they first show the whole clip that they then repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat.
It's not a time loop.
And it's a time loop, but I did really look at Daily Motion and put up...
It's a fold in time.
Yeah. It's a chronic hysterectomy.
A chronic hysterectomy, isn't it? Yeah.
Chronic hysteresis.
But yeah, I had to actually bring up the time to make sure it hadn't just been a repeat because I got caught by that. The fact that they...
Oh,
no. Yes, I got caught in one as well.
So why are they after the Doctor then? They're watching him.
Delaying him.
Why?
Delaying. Merci, Matrice.
Why are they delaying him?
Because you're about to find out.
Am I?
And I just see it as an episode stretcher because there really is no point.
It's funny
to it
that you should call the shortest Doctor Who episodes in the history of the show episode stretched. I think that's quite amusing in itself. Don't you think, Mary?
Well, it does feel like there's way too much padding.
Padding. It's good padding. Let's call it that.
Yeah, but the fact that the episodes are too short means to say, obviously, they weren't particularly successful padding it out.
And now, this could have probably been done in two with the most three episodes.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah, but I suppose there was a lot of the repeated thing that did sort of start to get a bit...
Très bien.
And, you know, and when we watch episode two in a moment, they're going to repeat that sort of... You know, chronic hiss, what you just said.
Oui, alors
hysteresis.
Would you stop going
hysterectomy.
On? Goodness, hysterectomy.
A chronic hysterectomy.
Chronic one.
Hysteresis.
Just wonder if Deb's, wonder if my Debbie's asleep. I was wondering if I might be able to sneak into the kitchen and get a packet of cheddars.
Oh.
The dogs are in the other room. This is very unusual. Normally, if I'm here on my own... They start scratching the door and come in and just sort of make
zoot.
The room smell.
I like that.
Anyway, yes, Tom Baker. This is the end of the episode, by the way. It's now gone into the title sequence. But it said about him being a bit ill. His hair's hasn't got a very rich brownness to it, is it? There's lots of grey and it doesn't look very healthy, does he?
And fresh from curlers.
Yeah, or perm, depending on when it was. Yeah, so we've got the cast going across our screens as we speak, and if anybody wants to break to make themselves a cup of tea, please do so now. Oh, I could insert some comedy moments here while the titles are sitting in place. Or even things like this.
Hi, this is Fraser Hines, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Yes, Kirby.
This is the... Oh, dear, I'm on echo.
I don't care. Please spit the words out.
Mr. Rodden.
This is the first story. Oh, this is too weird. thank you. This is the first story since a First Doctor story where all of the actors who are credited were in all of the episodes.
Very good.
Right, so I think it's time to queue up episode two, or do we want to...
Yes.
Okay, then. Right. Are we ready? Three,
ready.
Two, one.
Jette tweet.
Oh, hang on. Three. Go back to the beginning, because I unfortunately had the wrong window open because of Kirby.
Okay,
right. Beginning. Take two. Three, two, one. Play. Right, it's playing. Now we've got something called Doctor Who theme.
I'm looking at the Doctor's face.
Oh, yeah? No, I've got little stars at the moment. Now I've got the Doctor's face right now. Because obviously, and of course, our listeners who listen along with me and knowing I'm right will have exactly the same picture on the screen.
Same as
yes.
And now I'm looking at Meglos.
Now I'm looking at the words Doctor Who. And now I'm looking at the words Medros. You might want to pause it until you've called.
Yeah, I am pausing. Right.
Now it says, by John Flanagan and Andrew McCulloch. And now we've got part two.
Yes,
part
I have two part
gone,
two.
Gone. And now we've got the picture now, and the recap.
I am in exact sync with you.
With me? Master. Oh, there you go.
And
And
now we get to see the repeats again.
Yeah, no, this might take some time. So maybe it's a good example to play a few more little things. This is the a good one. Have a
chronic
listen to this
hysteresis.
One. This is chronic hysteresis.
The past is another country. 1987 is just the Isle of Wight.
Very good.
I don't know how long this is going to go on for, this recap. Because this is right at the beginning of it. We're
each
already 1 minute 10 seconds into the episode.
Plays a lot of the previous episode. Yeah. Fabien.
What do you call me?
I'm just reading the French. Merci.
Trébien Chevalier, who currently is in the United States of America, who posted a very amusing film of his daughter and himself going down the world's largest inflatable water slide. what I found particularly funny about that is his daughter went down and went, whee! And he went down and went, ah! Oh, I shouldn't scream, Deb's asleep.
And if you look...
sorry, Deb.
Tom Baker also looks thinner.
What, in this
episode? It's quite wan.
What, in this particular recap?
Well, no, just in general.
Yeah.
I noticed it before I read about it.
But you didn't notice it in the previous episode?
Yeah, I did.
You didn't mention it, though?
You can only talk about so much in each episode.
No, this is a commentary. You are supposed to talk about stuff.
And we got distracted last episode.
Did we?
A little
what?
Bit.
Just a little bit.
But allons-y.
So, have we got up to... Oh, good. We finally got into the story proper. No, we haven't. It's still on a... loopy thing.
Yeah, they're still doing the loop.
But
yes.
Are we actually...
We have to repeat this a few times here.
But it's very deliberate, isn't it? The tripping over and...
Padding.
It's sort of...
just nicked my chips.
Merci, Mathis.
I don't find it very believable, the old trippy bit, because it's not identical every time.
The camera focuses on him dropping that apron in the way, so you know it's going to play a part.
Yes.
And negatif, Mathis.
Will you shut up going on French? The dog's in here.
I'm having fun.
This is also this. They make reference to Time Rotor. This is only the second time in like 12 years or something like that. Don't quote me for the exact number of years since it was last called the Time Rotor.
You saying it's not been
called? It still goes up and down even when they are.
That's what she said.
In their destination.
You're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Yeah, sorry.
I did like that every time that the time loop, I'll call it that, restarted, it was, they always, Romana always said, oh, here we go again.
Yes, that was good.
That was amusing. Mm. Yes, that was where the hand was.
Well, that's what the Brigadiers said when the third Doctor regenerated into the fourth Doctor. Yes, he did. Shut up. Right, so the baddies... so we have two speaking baddies. That's a bad actor and
mixed match costumes.
And Bill Fraser and a non-speaking baddie who's just there for a reason I do not know what. And Megalos has turned into the Doctor. How'd he do that?
Yeah, I was watching that and went, what?
They had a picture of him earlier. That was supposed to be what they patterned his next model on.
Yes, but how did he do the clothes?
Don't know.
But I tell you what,
this bad actor just wants his coat all the way through.
I tell you what, talking about bad actor, it did rather show off Tom Baker to be a good actor.
I think this episode really did do that.
He was very good.
Yeah, because when he was Megalos, I mean, he is Megalos. He's very threatening.
Yes.
There was nothing wrong with the acting in this story.
No, and I think
that was not the problem with the story.
Well, generally, isn't it? Doctor
story
Who
was a story.
Most of the time, that is.
I think Jacqueline Hill did a great job. Once I got over the fact that who she was, then I settled back and just enjoyed her character. So I don't know why JNT had such an issue with it.
Well, I don't know. JNT was a bit of a strange man, wasn't he? I met him once. You know, he had a flowery shirt on.
Did you?
That was a sort of Hawaiian shirt more than the flowery shirt.
Yeah. What was he like? Distracted.
So
I only
he
met
was
him
along
for about
with
5 minutes.
He was along when you met Six.
Yeah, he was met Six. What is this? The Bigger on the Inside podcast? Yes, when I met Colin Baker.
You're the one who posts whenever you post the picture, you referred to him as Sixy.
Yeah, old Sixy. I didn't call him Six. I called him old Sixy. Yes, it's when we were doing the Doctor Who exhibition in the Needles on the Isle of Wight, which of course is it's next door.
So they brought Bessie over on the ferry,
yeah,
and everything.
They brought Bessie over just to drive 1 minute from the ferry terminal to the the site at the Needles. Yes, that's right. yes, and what was how long ago? It was 1991, I think. I might have even been married. I can't remember. But anyway, I remember me and Ali. Sorry, Alistair. I call him Ali myself, but he's known to everybody else as Alistair. I might upset him if I call him anything other than that. Anyway, we sort of, I think, gave him a lift out to the Needles, actually. And then Bessie turned up with Colin Baker, who did a bit of a speech inside Bessie, and then stepped over to the entrance of the exhibition, opened it, stood in the exhibition while people went around, looked at the exhibits, and sort of just greeted everybody as they went past, and you could have pictures taken with him, which I did. And then after, I thought that was about it. Went outside, and then Alistair was having a conversation with Colin, who was being very friendly and pally with him, and said, "Oh, I said, well, can I have a picture of you in Bessie?" He said, "Oh, let's all get inside." So he took his jacket off, put the jacket over Alistair's shoulders, and we stood in Bessie and got some bystander to take the picture, and then wandered off up the hill where met John Nathan Turner, who said, "Hello, Alistair." Small talk. And he just introduced me and said hello, and we carried on talking to Alistair and Colin and some other bloke. And then that's just all I can remember of it, really, but it wasn't a major thing.
Oh. Yes, it was.
Yeah, very major. I agree.
Well, I didn't think it was at the time.
If anybody wants to know what Time Lord in French is, it's Seigneur de Temps. Excusez-moi, he's saying. Excusez-moi.
Sit down. So you interrupt me just to tell me that.
You guys keep talking about this episode. No one brought me any Chinese. Any Chinese mustard. I have to go downstairs and get some.
I've got some soy sauce in the cupboard.
I have soy sauce.
I have mustard. You want some?
I got some from Iceland. I'm expecting a small bottle.
I had some
bottle
downstairs.
It's a massive
bottle. I'll be back in
forever.
About 1 minute.
Okay.
1 minute. Well, does that mean you should be able to get to the Needles and back within that time?
Yes.
Anyway, the studio that they've got this set in the background, we've got the screens. And now Meg, this is really clever acting by Mr. Baker of Tomness. He has to come into this room, and he doesn't recognize Barbara, which is surprising. Probably that proves because he's Megloss.
And he doesn't recognize Zastor either, which is, you know, the clue that this is not the Doctor.
No, this is really good acting by Mr. Baker, because he's acting Megloss pretending to be the Doctor.
Yeah, I know. I think he does a great job.
But I was just thinking about the little screens in the background with the little ziggy zaggy sort of orangey red designs on, quite distinctive. Because you see a lot of these sort of background things in Doctor Who, they sort of reoccur time to time. But that's something I think I would have noticed if it had been in previous episodes. There's certain bits of scenery in this that have been in previous episodes of the show. Meanwhile, in the TARDIS, they're still having a bit of a time loop problem.
Yes, we're still stretching things out here.
Towards the end of it, isn't it? You know, they get a couple of minutes to discuss what's going on.
They're going to figure this out.
Mm.
And they've got time to do it all again. That's what I don't understand.
And then to exactly replicate it, which they don't, you know, might work, but, you know, they fumble around and don't do it quite right, but it still works, so.
It must have been great fun in the studio doing this scene over and over again, mustn't it not?
No, but I have a feeling they didn't actually do
they
it did, over
They
again.
Just showed the exactly the same.
Yeah, it's exactly thing. The same.
Yeah, they just had the exact same.
No, good. I felt really sorry for them having to...
Yeah, for him to trip over that thing, how many times now?
Yeah, so I think they got out of it by waggling Canine's tail or something.
No, they get out of it by exactly replicating what they're doing to throw
deliberately
to throw the loop out of sync.
Yeah,
that's what's happening now. They're the loop's going out of sync.
No, the camera broke. That's all that seems to have happened at the moment.
Yes. And they did it! Hooray! That's it over with.
Merci.
Phase cancellation. We've done it. We've done it.
Listen, the phase.
This is beyond.
Shut up with the French.
You and me, Dad. We got to do this in sync, you know.
Meanwhile, the doctor is being Megloss, who's masquerading as a doctor, is being sworn into some sort of thing by saying thanks be to Ty.
He has to swear to Ty before he can
just
go look
checked.
At the
They go through the loop six times, or they do the whole thing six times.
When he says,
I thought it was more than that,
thank
but I double-checked.
That says, number of times was really bothering me. I didn't know.
When he says thanks be to Ty, I couldn't help thinking about those little little bean toys you used to be able to get that also used to be the sponsors of an awful football club called Portsmouth.
Wow.
Thai beanies. Thai beanies, yes. I have got some Thai beanies in the house somewhere. At least you used to have them. Maybe I haven't got them anymore.
Just being thankful for neckties.
Mm-hmm.
Very good, yes.
Yeah.
These little sort of inner sanctums the BBC do very, very well. And they've always got to have flames on, sort of flame torches on the wall.
I think all the sets on this are really good.
And you can imagine behind the scenes, you've got loads of people with fire extinguishers because there's lots of smoke coming off there.
That looks very much like the one off of
Brain of Morbius.
Yeah, yeah.
It also looks like the one out of the Five Doctors, funny enough.
Ooh, and now we're in the jungle with those vicious plants.
Mm. I love how vicious they are.
This is a great set.
It's like, what, vicious? They went underground to get away from these?
Yeah.
Now, this particular TARDIS prop is the one that was in the Doctor Who Experience. There is a picture of it, I think, on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast Facebook group, because when me and Alicia went, that's when Alicia apparently liked Doctor Who, went there. There's loads of pictures of us and things at the exhibition. It has changed, apparently. It's going to change within the next few months to be updated for Peter Capaldi. And I haven't
Which
been to it since
going
it's been
to
in Cardiff.
Put in the experience, do you know?
Oh, that'll be there. But I'm thinking that because obviously you may see the pictures of that particular TARDIS and also the console from Peter Davison's latter era and Colin Baker's era, full stop, which was I had my picture taken with. I think Alicia took it. So it's quite good fun to see that. I'm not quite convinced it is actually the prop because I think I remember Kirby saying that the prop warped. That's why I had to turn the lights down.
That's an interesting thing.
Isn't the thing that he's put on that flashing
thing? Yeah, that's what that guy tried
really
to steal.
Modern,
yeah.
But it looks really modern. And I mean, as in not retro. It actually looks like something from the 2014s, in my view.
Yeah, it's a dimensional something.
Mm-hmm. Stabilizer, I don't know.
Romana, I can find out. Romana and K9 are sort of going through this jungle thing, and of course,
this terrible jungle.
It's a redimensioner.
That's what it is.
But it's just interesting to note that Romana demonstrates the having to squat down to talk to K9 because his microphones weren't enough that they could hear them, the people around him, unless they were right next to him. So there was obviously some sort of fault with K9. Maybe when he went into the water, his hearing went. Anyway, so she's sort of. Handheld camera.
And now she's in her velvet and lace outfit, which is quite lovely.
Yeah, it's a sort of, it reminds me of, this actually scene reminds me of the Day of the Triffids, which I think was actually on TV around this time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, now, Deb and I want to talk about the clothes. We like Romana's outfit, don't we, Deb?
No, we don't. Was that it? I thought you were going to have an in-depth conversation about this particular outfit.
Well, we could if you'd let us. But
go on then.
Well, again, it's just part of the period stuff was very popular then.
I quite like the padded tunics that the servants.
Yeah, the servants are wearing. Yes. Yeah, I like those.
Those were constructed by the costume department, but their pants and their boots came from a store.
Anyway, I was saying about Day of the Triffids being on around this time and those plants reminded me of it. What year did this story go out?
It was 1980, I think.
Yes. What year did the Day of the Triffids BBC TV series go out?
Oh, I have no idea.
Probably 1980.
1981.
Ah. Mm. That was an excellent version. I love
that.
You
saw that, did you? Remember who was in it?
Oh, yes.
Remember that, yeah.
John Dateen, Emma Ralph, Maurice Coburn, Stephen Yardley, and Gary Olson. Now, Gary Olson is a very famous actor now.
Never saw it.
What?
It's definitely the dodecahedron is gone.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Yeah, so, possible.
Be quiet.
Battling away with the tendrils.
I'm getting confused. Yeah, it's not the same Gary Olsen that was.
I noticed they're tearing her apart and eating her.
In the Harry Potter films, it's a different Gary Olsen. Never mind. These things happen when looking at Wikipedia. Meanwhile, yes, Romana's being attacked by these.
I want Romana's
triffids.
Clothes.
Mm,
yeah,
I love Romana's clothes.
Yeah,
too.
Sort of,
are we in a chronic hysteresis?
don't they look a bit sort of slightly John Pertwee-ish with a little sort of frilly
sleeve? She keeps noticing that the foliage is burnt, but she doesn't know why.
Why are you not listening to me? I said a very Doctor Who referenceable thing
there.
Because
Romana. Again, please.
Romana.
Boring part.
Be quiet. Romana is well known for trying to sort of mimic the Doctor, as in the Fourth Doctor's clothes, in her own. She's well known for doing that. But in this one, she's mimicking the Third Doctor's clothes.
Oh, it was quiet. I actually have a feeling that was June Hudson that was doing that.
Oh, be quiet. I'm trying to. God's sake. Anyway, so Barbara is calling. I don't know at this stage.
Senor du Times. Senor du Times.
The Doctor's
come on.
Double.
It's a time lord. I love
it. Be quiet. Has double crossed them.
The rest of the time, Lord Cactus.
It's actually Meglos that's double crossed them, but she thinks the Doctor's double crossed them. And then, of course, it's the first time we see Tom Baker wearing the Cactus makeup, and it looks absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Kudos to the makeup department because he really looks it.
So iconic. I remember seeing this, and bear in mind, I was probably about 14. Something like that when this went out.
Oh, really?
It was probably one of the last times that Classic Who makeup had a big impact on me. It was that good.
Something else about Tom Baker being sick is that this whole series is the first time I read that he submitted to having makeup put on because his skin color was so bad, along with his hair being all lank and everything.
All right, okay.
What was wrong with him?
Well, he would have had to have makeup on, mate, because he's got cactuses on him. He's got cactus quills
on
him.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I'm talking this whole series. Yeah. Oh, shut up. Who asked you, Adam?
Then this is the real Doctor because he hasn't got any cactus quills on him. And he sort of walks in as if everybody should think he's a big friend and everything. Of course,
he's lighter as well. I like that.
Je suis le docteur. Yeah.
Be quiet with the blimmin' French or I'll set the dogs on you.
I'm educating us all.
Yeah, so he has a gun pointed up his nose and then Barbara turns up and he doesn't recognise her. Now, I think it would have been really good if he said to her, you look like
she
an old companion of me. Shut up!
But he knows Zastor, which is the other thing, yeah.
Yeah.
And Zastor is amazed.
Hello, you look
how do you
a little
know
bit
me?
Like Barbara.
Yes,
but I know John Nathan Turner would never have allowed that. But I reckon Moffat would have done that.
Yes, well,
he probably would have.
Does that, doesn't he? You know, you look a bit like someone I've met before, and things like that.
Yeah,
I never
cool.
forget a face, is what he would say.
So Romana is still wandering around the jungle. She finds the entrance.
Anti-clockwise.
What?
Anti-clockwise.
Yes. Anti-clockwise.
The planet revolves anti-clockwise.
Does it?
Then
a pervert comes upon her. I mean, doesn't come out like that, but arrives and chases her around the jungle. K-9, meanwhile, has terrible trouble steering himself over these sort of
the jungle. Weren't we just discussing on Facebook in the jungle, the mighty jungle?
Yes, we were.
Yes. I didn't see if you answered me, Kirby. I asked you a question there.
And then she gets caught by two perverts and starts running away.
And the funny thing is she runs, and yet...
Another load of perverts.
They all come up... It's like, are these the same ones every time?
Miss Pirate.
Yeah, she's...
Well, these pirate guys regenerate, because after half of them are gone,
yeah,
some
know,
of them
they
come
do
back.
That in Doctor Who.
They all come back, yeah. Look at...
Yeah.
And then they're all approaching her back at the beginning again because they get back to where the entrance to the spaceship is. And then after only 20 minutes, they're saying, kill her.
Yes.
And that is probably one of the most popular pre-Sting statements in Doctor Who. Or kill her or kill him. or something on those lines. So yes, that's the end of episode 2, and which I suppose gives me the opportunity to do this and get Kirby to say, "Oh, I'm echoing. Oh, I'm echoing."
Only if I say something.
Woo!
Hi, I'm Caitlin Blackwood, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Woo! So, talk about Scottish people.
Nice.
Hi, I'm Andrew Smith, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
And the only one out of that collection that's missing, of course, is the man who did the last classic series of Doctor Who, and who's been on show 3 times and still hasn't managed to do a bumper. That would be Andrew Cartmell.
I recorded one, but the sound isn't very good.
Hello there, this is Colin Baker, and you are listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. And doesn't make... I'll do it again.
So that one always makes me laugh.
Right. Performing in a trainer or something when you do the echo.
Now you know what it's like, yeah. Debbie. Right, so episode 3, are we queued up for an episode 3? You're supposed to say
I
yes.
Suppose.
What do you mean, I suppose? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ooh, I think I played that a bit too early, but it's playing. Now we've got the bit where it says Doctor Who theme, there's a title sequence. Tom Baker's head is coming into view around about...
Now.
And now, it's not got the words yet, but we have words Doctor Who now coming in. I'm just trying to try really? Everybody can get synced up. I've got them on 20 seconds, 21, 22, Doctor Who.
23, 24, 24, 25.
And then we can all count. Aren't we clever? Megalos. By John Flanagan and Andrew McCulloch, whose brother's terrible at composing music. Part 3.
They are not related.
Yes.
I checked.
Okay. Oh no, we're going to have the whole of the pervert chase sequence to sit through again.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm telling you, that's how they're padding these out.
Okay.
We could kind of speed up to
No, I'm not speeding up because it goes all out of sync. So what I'm going to do, while we have the pervert thing, we're going to play this bumper.
Come with me.
I can't. I'm going to listen to the 20 Megabyte podcast.
You come with me.
Me come with you?
Yes.
Me come with you. It's tempting.
Yes, that was... Sorry, I just dropped my speaker. That was a patron of the show, Daphne Ashbrook, with Mary's bit on the side, Paul McGann.
Right. I never did send you the picture of the Paul McGann giving me a kiss, did I?
Yes, but don't worry about that, Mary, because I never did give Debbie the copy of the Planet of Giants that she was supposed to borrow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me put it another way. Well, she couldn't be bothered to draw it.
All she has to do is get up, go out the door, go down three or four, however far, and come in and you can
Shall I continue that story for you? Knock on the door, make the dogs bark, make Debbie come downstairs, explode, kill me, end of podcast.
Alpha Debbie must not be annoyed.
That's right.
Anyway, right, so they've
Debbie
got...
Debbie goes to bed fairly early, doesn't she?
It's because she gets up fairly early. So... They say, let's kill her, blah, 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 blah. But, of course, they don't because Romana's clever. I love the bit where he's getting something out. She flinches as if she's going to be sort of hit. That's good acting. I think he gets a little gun out and she sort of like flinches as if she's going to be hit. She thinks she's going to be hit by him. That's good acting. She's a good actress, you know, Lala Ward.
He had a kettle on.
Yes.
I'll tell you what, these little hairstyles, the little wigs, suit the men more funnily, more than they do the women, I seem to think.
I think they suit them both.
I disagree, and remember what I said? I'm right.
C'est incompréhensible.
Oh, shut up with the blimmin' strength.
The funny thing is that same phrase came up in English on my screen at the same time you said it.
Well, we are really in sync then.
What's French for dodecahedron?
Pretty much that. It's dodecahedron.
Shut up with the French.
What was that?
He's bleeping his swearing.
He's bleeping us.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, did you want to talk about these little bumpers? I just found one that was which you've never heard because remember some chap used to be on the podcast. He wrote a book about excuses or something like that. These are the sort of favours I used to do for him. I got Daphne to do this for him.
This is Daphne Ashbrook, and you are listening to Who's the Man podcast.
And the thanks I get for that is, one, him not doing the Who's the Man podcast, and two,
Does he even do it anymore?
No, he doesn't.
No, he doesn't do
it anymore. He doesn't do anything anymore. He just goes to school.
No, he's just got himself a life. I'm very annoyed with him.
Really? Imagine that. Well, I think he still does the Improbable podcast or one of those things.
Oh, does he?
No, not even that.
I wonder if he's not doing anything podcast-wise.
I just wonder if he's actually going to watch the new series.
He checks in on the 20 megabyte every once in a while. I see his name show up.
Just to have a go at somebody.
Yeah.
And I try to provoke him with the series season thing, and nothing happens.
I've got a very nice tweet in the week, not from Reese, but I just sort of made a comment on Twitter that Who News has suddenly sprung back to life, and I was getting loads of notifications from Who News, and I tweeted about this, and the chap who does Who News, I can't remember his name, I do apologise, because he's probably listening.
Did you notice how all the power went out in this room, and yet now you look and the lights are on, all the power is on?
Well, how are they doing that? Television program, how are they supposed to see? Anyway, what did I get up to in my little story about Twitter?
They might have batteries.
Obviously, it was a riveting story, because you lot don't want to hear the rest of it.
I'm just saying,
the chap who runs the Who News thing, he said that he's only just been listening to the podcast. So,
cool. Hmm.
That must be four listeners we have now, so thanks, everybody.
Watch out, some people actually take you seriously.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, five. right, yeah, so, well, you're going to think that, aren't you? Because we only get feedback from about four people, mostly. It makes you think that those are the only four people that are listening. So I do apologise if there's seven or eight people out there listening to the show, but you sometimes feel like you're in a room on your own with a bunch of...
We must be in double figures.
Romana's explained the counterclockwise rotation to these two guys. We're just not getting it. Anti-clockwise, yes.
Twice.
I'll say.
Oh, God.
We missed it, Kirby. We missed it, whatever it was.
Well, I just simply said we must be in
love.
I think I might have to go and get myself a stiff drink.
This is a good special effect. I like this.
Can you talk about the episode while I go and recover?
Yeah, this is great. The way the Earthling's trying to break free of
him. Yeah, yeah. And he gets them back in. Good effect. Good effect.
Now, it was done live with CSL. And so that case is where Tom Baker providing doctor's voice and Chris Rowan doing the
Cyber Leader. He sounds like one of the Cybermen from the 10th Planet, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
Someone's screaming in your house again.
Somebody's using his bandwidth. Sounds... Yes.
What are you talking about?
You're very broken up.
Oh, shall I? Hang on. I'll put you on speaker, then you can hear yourself sounding weird. Hang on, listen. Let Kirby speak so he can hear himself. Go on.
Why should I speak?
Pardon?
I'm sorry.
This podcast is really going down the tubes here.
Anyway.
I think it's on your end. It's not.
That's what she said.
No, I hear you, Kirby. I hear you. All broken up. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm just saying Barbara's just called the doctor a fraud. Maybe because he's not William Hartnell.
I will go and everyone else find out what's going on.
Yeah, you're going to lynch everybody in the house for using up your bandwidth.
Mary, did you see in the translation it brought up the double translation for doppelganger?
Did it?
Yes, it did. Doppelganger, yes.
Is that because doppelganger is a sort of French word?
It is a French word.
It's German.
It's what?
It's German.
Good. I'm glad you spotted that.
Oh, she's right. She's right. It's German.
Yes.
But it must be a unique word. That we use it in all languages.
Oh, dear.
Ooh, the doctor. Uh-oh. Perv.
Make us something nice.
He's dragging her into a dark corner.
Yeah.
the ones on the surface are the perverts.
I don't know. He didn't look too up and up with her. Doppelgangers, there they are.
Yeah, carry on talking. I'm just doing some research.
Okay.
We are watching an episode. You can talk about it.
Très bien, docteur.
Oh, from French.
Très bien, docteur.
I'm having fun. Non, a star.
You're supposed to be commentating on the pictures in front of us, not speaking French and actually reading
well,
out.
That is part of the picture.
No, not supposed to be reading out the commentary. You can all sit here and go, then who
Meglos.
Are you? I am
said,
Megloss in a snarly
yes,
voice.
Yes, we Megloss.
Last Zolfo. Oui. Hang on, it's going too fast. The dead planet? Yes.
The dead planet.
Then, but I'm not going to read out the blooming subtitles.
Oh, and now comes the revelation. Oh!
Revelation.
Which at this point we don't know what he has in his hand.
We
but it's shocking, whatever
possible.
It is.
I don't know what he has in his hand.
Recognize it when they go through that big long scene of them not knowing exactly what it looks like.
Right, right.
How can she recognize
Nobody it? Knows, but then when he opens his hand, well, it's like, how does she know?
So,
since they call it the dodecahedron, it looks like a dodecahedron.
Kirby.
I know, but nobody's seen it, Kirby.
And we can't understand what you're saying, Kirby.
Big balls.
Pardon?
Big balls.
There's no need to that sort of language. This is a family podcast. Grief.
Goodness gracious.
I had a big gulp of water in my mouth when you said that to me.
I think my Ribena's gone across the room.
Yeah, my Robinson's orange squash is quite safely
Nobody
in the glass.
Nobody on this end is streaming.
That's what she said.
You sound better.
Yeah.
Good.
He's getting cross. It's not our fault you sound funny. Anyway, meanwhile...
You know, when Romana kind of tells them that they need to go that way and they start in, I thought she was just going to let them go. I didn't know she was going to lead the way.
Yeah, it's funny that she's been followed through the jungle by these perverts and the woods and the little plants thing look very... I wonder if they sort of... There's a bit of a mix match of previous bits of jungle scenery from earlier episodes of Doctor
I'm wondering,
Who.
Too, yeah, because some of it looks really dead and some of it looks really nice.
It was all dead. It was all made of some sort of rubber. Yes.
The jungle set scenes were all filmed at the same time, even though they ended up in different episodes. And it's actually very small. They drew the camera around and... showed different bits of it.
Kirby, you're all breaking up again.
Yes, I'm sorry, listeners, if you would like
to
have a transcript of this podcast, got absolutely no chance. Yeah, carry on.
I like the
questions. I was done, but apparently I've got a breaking up problem.
You have got a breaking up problem. Then tell you something, it's hard to do.
Tell you what, I'm going to stop.
That's better.
Yeah,
you're better now.
Keep it like that, yeah.
You kind of go in and out.
Yeah, pardon?
That's what she said.
It's like definitely get down the toilet, this one.
It's not my fault. Mary's on the show, but Mary goes off for a week and she comes back reinvigorated with the innuendo, doesn't she?
That's right. And Deb.
Yeah. Right then, Debbie.
What?
You were going on about that. I love the way you said that we're at least in double figures in regards to listeners. Well, according to the Podbean, which are where all our statistics, listener statistics, sort of lie, in the last 30 days, we've had 33,962 feed hits.
Whoa, really?
So you have to divide that by certain other features, but it would rather indicate that it's more than double figures. I was laughing.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah, really.
Yes.
It's like, oops.
The funny thing is that
we need
most
to clean
of those,
up our act then.
Most of those sugar. Odd thousand listeners a week are very quiet. Shh, don't upset them.
Yes, must be.
Anyway, must be. Meanwhile.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yes. Romana is still walking through woods with perverts and frilly sleeves and a costume.
Oh, is this a scene where...
And they love to grab her hair. Well,
she goes off to the left and they go to the right here.
For God's
yeah,
sake,
so these
Kirby.
Horrible man-eating plants which don't hurt anybody.
Yeah, which they have to ravel around their own arms and stuff, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
General half-heartedly wrapping it round his arm. Yeah.
It's just hard to imagine why they went underground to avoid that.
They seem quite stationary and easy to avoid.
Right, right.
Just
this.
And now Canine returns to the story.
Yeah, quite rightly so.
He needs to be recharged now every 2 hours.
Oh, that's not fair.
What's not fair?
Well, he's recharging. Oh, look, he's light as a feather in that bit.
Yeah.
Romana's used to picking him up. I'm just thinking about a costume. It reminded me of the sort of costumes they had in the that vampire story which we all looked at not so long ago. What was that one called? Don't go all quiet on me.
I'm looking.
Terence Dix wrote it.
State of Decay.
Thank you. Yeah.
State of Decay.
It looked
right.
Like she borrowed it off of one of the other characters in that story.
She could have, because that was filmed just before this one.
Oh, well, there you go.
Ah.
Anyway, so is this Megalos or the Doctor?
Cause see, they fit the filming of this.
This is Megalos.
Yeah. Oh, he's shoving her.
Yeah.
Sorry, yes, I'm watching the episode, Kirby. Apologize.
J&T didn't like this story because it didn't have his new favorite character, Adric, in it. So he pushed it around in the production schedule, which is why it was filmed after several
you
stories.
Have to be careful
already
what
had.
Words you're saying that might be chopped down to sound a bit shorter then, because it did rather sound like you were swearing then. So apologize, listeners, it was a digital swear, not Kirby swearing for real there. So.
I do love the way he battles with the Earthman.
Yes, yeah. Another good struggle, yes.
What on earth is that noise? Has a motorbike just gone past your house, Debbie?
No, my house.
That was your house.
My house.
Uh-huh. It could be the
ooh, battery gram.
For the fortune cookie I'm eating.
What? Sounds like a motorbike.
That's an interesting fortune cookie.
Open it up.
Good lord, what an Billy stopped munching in my ear hole. Otherwise, I should go into the kitchen and get some cheddar.
And we've got our CGI laser guns.
Oh, yeah, we got the old things where when it hits the characters and you get these little
yeah.
star shapes.
It's a little star, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The dramatic falling down with the battering ram.
Mm-hmm.
Very unfortunate. These laser sort of effects, bearing in mind Star Trek was made about 20 years before this, you would have thought they should by in 20 years be able to sort of replicate or better the special effects that Paramount
Desilu. There you see it. He got to kick Canine.
Oh yeah, that's it. That's my Canine being kicked.
That was
you shut up with the French or I'm going to get cross.
That was his deal. He
got
to kick Canine.
That was my breath.
Wait, did he actually on Z at that point?
No. I didn't see Alon Z. Did you, Deb?
Yeah, I did. I saw Alon Z.
Mm.
Okay, yeah. You're going to need to get a screen capture of that.
I did say this, but nobody listens to me.
Fine. I will sort it out in a bit.
Don't you dare pause it.
No, later she can do it.
Can she? That's what she said.
I mean, she's got to go back and find it.
No, right. I just wanted to say, a little friend of mine is in here and... wanted to say, on regards to the constant French references.
No, not BBA!
We aren't BBA-ing. We're doing exactly what we're supposed to be doing, but in a different language.
It's not the French subtitling podcast. It's a 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
We're reading the Doctor Who.
Just
because you're not sat next to me today doesn't mean to say I can't give you a digital clip round the ear hole.
Master?
Yes.
Now it's time for the scene, which is a repeat of a scene from Underworld.
Oh yes.
Yes, it is.
Didn't she object to the sacrificing in that?
Yes, but the sacrifice is.
Ooh, Kirby, we can't hear you at all.
Hello?
Hang on. Hold that thought, Mary. Hold that thought, because we need to insert this.
I was saying, can you hear me?
Yes.
Sadly, yes.
Underworld had
but only just.
Which was very similar to this sacrifice.
Unfortunately, you're sacrificing your bandwidth because we can hardly understand a word you're saying. Right, yes. Meanwhile, back to the story. Romana's running around the corridors. I tell you what, there's very brief corridor scenes. The doctor looks like he's just about to regenerate the way he's lying. Oh, it's Nicholas, hang on.
Just calmly waiting for death.
Yeah. Right, this elaborate great big rock that's just sort of held above his head by about 15 ropes. Yes. Bearing in mind that poor old Eldrad sort of died a similar sort of death, I thought that was quite fitting.
And be too tight. And be too tight.
Yeah, that's really good. I like it. So what's it attached to? Is that the actual dodecahedron? Or just a sort of rendition of it?
It's just a big rock over him.
But it looks dodecahedron shaped.
Well, no, it's like triangular shaped, it looks.
And it's funny how that just when they start burning through one rope, it starts swinging like mad. I thought that was quite amusing.
Yeah.
It's styrofoam.
It's styrofoam, is it? In this country, we call it polystyrene.
It's jambolite.
Does it matter? It still do you a bit of an injury if it fell from you from a great height.
Now, we could move on to the next episode, and we'll see this entire scene all over again. And I mean entire episode. All over again.
Whole episode? That's a long cutback.
Die.
Okay, right, this is the end of episode 3. And the doctor's... Yes. Oh, look. Hey, that was... that sounds like The Black Guardian. Yes, episode 3 of Megaloth was produced by the BBC.
Stay away from the canal.
Which is probably the only similarities between Doctor Who as it is then and is now. The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast was brought to you by Kirby Bartlett Sloan and his funny intermittent voice. And I think it might be a good idea to play some more little jingles. Oh, here's one.
Hi, this is Lou Jameson, or Louise Jameson, listen, and you're listening to the 20 Megabytes Doctor Who podcast.
And talking about hardly...
Think about that one.
Hang on, I've got another jingle to play. This is a very old one. Hardly ever gets played. Here it goes.
You're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
I'm not.
Yes, that was Mrs. Shoveler. Yes?
Master, did everyone see the pictures of Louise Jameson on the current TARDIS set?
No, they didn't.
No.
I'll go out to her Facebook page.
Okay, I'll try and do that. I didn't know she had one, to be honest with you.
Who are you?
I am the master, and you will obey me.
Yes, and don't forget it either. Right, episode 4. 5.
Post the picture to the 20 Megabyte.
Thank you, Kirby. 4, 3, 2, 1, play. Diddly dum, diddly dum. I suppose with the theme tune and the flashback, we might as well play this. Hang on, what haven't I? Oh, we got this one.
Hello, my name's Toby Haydock.
Hang on, I'll pause that. Sorry, Toby, but notice that Podshock Haydock. It's Toby Haydock.
Measure, you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Continue so to do.
It's not a difficult name to say, is it, really, correctly, when you've actually had him on your show and you still couldn't pronounce it properly. That was Toby Haydock, listeners, who is a sort of family member of the show, even though he hasn't been on for quite a long time. Meanwhile, how long have I been cut back is this? This is back to the middle of the previous episode.
Oh, this is one of the scenes where we've got a strange number of the pirates, and all of a sudden one of the ones that was deaded in the last episode is
deaded.
Back.
Yeah,
deaded.
And the whole vengeance thing at the end of this episode is because he's lost half his men.
All right.
But is there a problem with my using a goon show phrase, deaded?
No.
Deaded's a great phrase.
Yes, I love that.
He's deaded. He's falling in the water.
Just get on with it. The doctor definitely looks like he's about to get to regenerate the way he's lying down there. He's got his Logopolis face.
We just want to move on to that last rope so we don't have to watch this whole scene over
but
again.
It's funny how the rope burned.
Someone might be watching this with us.
No. Listen, I'm just saying it's funny how the rope, when they were burning it, didn't sort of char or anything. It just sort of broke up.
No, it just kind of melted and broke.
It looks like it's made of the same stuff their hair is.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. Debbie, that was remarkable.
Yeah, here, so, I just thought that grey braid was just part of their uniform. I didn't know it was their hair.
Yeah.
Well, I think we've got time for another jingle.
This is Nabil Shabazz, and you are listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Which is followed up by... So I nearly burnt through the rope.
It was so gracious of him to do that.
No, he didn't do the second one. That second one was a capture from somewhere. I think someone might have sent it to me, actually.
He did a bit of a laugh after
He did do it, yes, but I added an extra bit of actual...
Someone who's on Facebook, double-check and make sure you can see that picture.
Oh, I'm trying to watch an episode of Doctor Who. For goodness sake, you're getting so sidetracked. Hang on, I've got another little...
It doesn't have to be you.
I'm doing it.
I bet you are.
Okay.
Is this a carry-on Doctor Who?
Well, I'm not saying... You're not saying the stuff, not me. Anyway, in regards to trying to look at stuff on Facebook while reviewing, sorry, commentating on episode of Doctor Who... Oh, need to knock my speaker off again.
Well, I see the picture of Louise Jameson on the current set.
Hang on.
Yes,
we've caught up. We've caught up now. 3 minutes and 22 seconds into the actual episode, we're actually back into the story again. And Barbara's looking a bit upset. Sorry, Debbie?
I said, oh, that's brilliant.
What,
completely deviant. I'm looking at Facebook.
I'm not looking at Facebook. I'm looking at the story. I'm being
and now all
podcaster.
Of a sudden, all of the crew members are back.
Yeah, they're all there.
They took off from the planet with most of those seats empty.
Oh yeah, I've seen the picture. There you go, done. Tell you what, apparently Louise Jameson's leaving the show, but shall we talk about that later?
Louise Jameson left the show. How long ago?
I mean, Jenna Coleman.
Yes, that post I put up this morning caused quite a stir.
Jenna,
what was it? Was it a picture of a teaspoon? Hang on, that's got to be worth it.
Hang on. Hang
we on, can discuss on, the we can discuss the Clara rumor later. I do not believe it.
Damn, it didn't come out on the speaker. Yeah. What? No, not now. We're talking about this. We're talking about Megros.
Yes, I know.
Shut up. Right, so meanwhile, he's got the dodecahedron in his fingers. This is a Doctor or Megros.
Yes.
It looks like an everlasting gobstopper from the gym.
Tell you what, the Romana's costume's an identical colour match to the Doctor's.
Of course
yes,
it is.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying.
I like the knickerbockers.
The what? Oh, the knickerbockers. Are they glorious?
The very 19th century poet.
Who, me? Thank you. I knocked my microphone then. I do apologise, listeners. It's like having Isabella in the room. Right, so we're back on the CSO set. As Kirby said earlier on, this was obviously shot at the same time as the scene from the earlier, episode one.
And
there's a slightly transparent Megloss.
Oh, sorry, CSO Megloss, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. He kind of appears and disappears over the sand.
Yeah. This is the last story that didn't feature Adric, isn't it? It's in a way, it's the last sort of proper Fourth Doctor story.
That's true. The next story was Full Circle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And which obviously was a tie into the Fifth Doctor because Adric was a Fifth Doctor companion, really.
Yeah.
So this is the last proper Fourth Doctor story.
Except I thought he worked well with the Fourth Doctor.
I'm not saying he didn't. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
This is the end of an era, this particular story.
Correct. I agree.
Anyway, so his hair in this particular scene is not as curly as in other scenes.
No. Very grey looking and not curly. Maybe it's part of the CSO stuff.
And he's playing around with that highly modern looking gadget and
And now we get another long scene of the lab rising out of the sand.
But Mary, that looks really, really good. I'm impressed with
that. I don't care. I want the story to move on. I don't want to stare at this.
His hair looks a bit blue as well. Is that the blue rinse he had or just bad CSO? No, Kirby's going to answer that question. I know it is.
I was just joining in.
I think that deserves a background noise.
No, that lab could have already been on the surface. We didn't have to watch it rise.
It's a very loud background noise. Sorry, I just thought I was in the TARDIS for a minute. I can't believe I've got all these background noises and I haven't got this one. Haven't played this one, I should say.
Oh, and I read where...
Barbara's been done in... Deaded.
Barbara's dead.
But I read where her character supposedly saw the doctor to be, you know, the nice man that he is, and she goes away and is not seen again. But they needed to stretch the episode out, so they put this little death scene in for her.
No, I can't kill off Barbara.
It's about carrying K-9 again.
It was a quicker way of getting K-9 around the scenery. If you look at this, the background behind the Doctor's head there with those sort of little triangular shape, those appeared in Doctor Who and Blake's
lights.
Not the lights, I'm talking about the little triangular shapes. They were a common thing in BBC science fiction. So if you look at BBC science fiction of that time, including the tripods and things like that, you would find those in the background. Never mind, it is the case.
Those specifically are from Horns of Nimon.
Yes, but they appeared in other things after that and probably before.
I believe they were created for Horns of Nimon and then were used after that in other places.
Well, I think they were probably before...
Nimon!
Before the Horns of Nimon. We probably just noticed them first in that episode. Yes, I won that particular pedant war.
I like how these two savants come out of the TARDIS like they're not at all impressed about where they just came from. I would have been so agog. I would not have...
No comments about how it's...
about anything about it. Yeah, they just rush out of it like this is just no big deal.
Yeah, well, if you've seen one spaceship, you've seen a million spaceships, haven't you? I don't think it would be surprising to a space traveller to find the fact that he's taken the coat off reminded me of a post on one of the social networking sites of the Master, played by John Sim, wearing a jacket very similar to the 12th Doctor's jacket.
Yes, I posted that.
Oh, what a surprise.
I like this whole business about the coat.
You do?
Yes.
Right.
No,
it's fine.
Like it.
This episode is so short, I actually like this last episode.
What, because it's short?
No, it's well done.
I like this episode.
These little CSO scenes, and of course now you see the Doctor and the Doctor at last together. Uh-huh. Sorry, just laughing at the fact he puts his hands up when he gets his shoulder grabbed. But the scenery looks makes them look really small. Reminded me of Planet of Giants a little bit.
Catch this, okay? This guy, he tricks this guy into holding up the screen, and then about 30 seconds later, the guy who seemed to be very concerned about holding that screen up walks in to this room, no longer concerned about holding the screen up.
Well, we just were not privy to seeing that it didn't matter.
He's about to come in.
Is he?
Wait for it. And he'll be in there in a second.
Will he? You got that?
Oh, yeah, we're still waiting for it.
I'm agog. I'm waiting here.
You're agog, are you? Is that some sort of alien species?
Yes, one that's always waiting.
There he is.
Who is it?
You know, he probably figured out it was just a ruse.
Another alien species. Oh yeah, this is the non-speaking bloke.
Mm-hmm.
Just getting a bit more wages just for appearing.
Just to add a little diversity to the cast. I like his shirt too. It's all tie-dyed and multicolored.
Yeah, so it's a shame that you couldn't actually say any words.
Then they'd have to pay him more.
Yeah, I suppose so. Hey, K9's moving. Hurrah. Right, so is this the actual... Yeah, it's the Doctor, isn't it? He's smiling, so that's how you know it's the Doctor.
I like that one guy likes the coat so much that he puts it on, and then he wants the other coat as well.
You served me so well. I thought you both deserved a little treat.
You must have had quite a few of those coats, simply remembering, of course, that Mordrin wore it.
Yeah, you got to watch yourself around Kirby.
Yes. He hasn't been wrong yet in this episode. So I'm a bit surprised. Interesting green lining of that particular
jacket. Yeah, you never noticed that when the Doctor takes it off or puts it on.
I wonder what it's there for. It seems a bit out of place.
And then he looks up.
And sees... Well, that's Megloss, isn't it? That's Megloss there.
And you'd think Megloss could see him for as exposed as he is.
Yes,
but
he's got a very camp walkabout, guys. I mean, then
this is all a story.
Yeah, and then they all wander out, and then this is Megloss, isn't it? That's the Doctor. I don't know, who's who? I'm getting confused. Is that Megloss? That's Megloss, isn't it?
This is Megloss here.
Yeah, because he looks miserable, and he just gets punched in the stomach, and then the doctor reacts to
that
it.
Oh, that must have hurt. Not knowing he's going to get it in just a minute.
Beg your pardon.
Stop it.
Oh, he gets punched in the stomach
as
well.
Yeah, see, he gets it too.
I see what you mean. Like, yeah. I'm just worried about getting cramp. Last time I got cramp, I broke a glass. I need to get some more. Refer to earlier episodes of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Anyway, right, so they're doing the old peeping around the corner where one person peeps a little bit further than the others, and surely somebody would have been seen.
They better not lean over too far or their wigs will fall off.
Yeah. And this is the face-to-face scene between Megloss and the Doctor.
And this is well done. I like this scene.
Yes, and it's quite well lit, actually.
Even him sticking his finger out, you know, let you know there's not a split screen there.
Yeah, no, but I said that wrong when I said it's well lit. I mean, it's lit beautifully. Not so you can't see it, but it's bright. I mean, it's just very, very nice lighting. And K9 is wobbling like mad.
And here they are again.
Someone's pushing him. And then we get to the scene, you've got to guess who's who, haven't we, at some point? This must have been a great fun
Cretans,
for Tom
Baker. Idiots.
Cretinous.
Cretons, idiots.
Look, what have I told you about the French?
Okay, I'm good. It's just so much fun in French.
Maybe. Right, so... He's looking, wearing this low light, his hair looks much healthier, actually, in this.
Yeah, he looks better, too.
Yeah, and it's more
curlier. He doesn't look so...
In fact, Megloss's hair looks a bit sort of unwell. And
well,
the
I love that that he performs it so well that you can tell the difference between Megloss and the Doctor.
Yes, yeah.
Absolutely.
I think that's one of the reasons why I like this so much, is Tom is totally into this.
Yeah.
Ooh. He's acting it very well.
He is indeed. Then a bit of polystyrene rock gets picked up by...
And this is the last of the crewmen we see.
And K9 wobbles across the set.
Yes. Pulled by strings, probably.
Master?
Yes?
I'm not saying anything. I'm saying what K9 normally says.
Oh, okay. And then
she hits him with a rock and all he does is turn around. It's like, jeez.
This allows some the others to get into where the Doctor and Megloss are. Oh, where's Megloss gone?
What, Megloss is in the room with the Doctor.
Oh, I thought at this point they'd actually got in with them. No, they've got to cut through a door.
Yeah, they're both trapped in that room.
And the cutting of the door by K9 is actually well done. Although, Master, watch when Romana comes into the door after the door is opened with the rough edges that have been cut by K9. She puts her hand right on what should be molten hot metal.
And Kirby?
Yeah, but...
Kirby, it's monsieur.
Yes.
Do you remember in the Caves of Androzani, if you have seen that, there's a scene where the door's cut like that and...
Right there.
Yeah, there you go.
But there's a scene where the door's cut just like that and the character puts his hand through and burns himself and he reacts to it. So that just reminds me of that scene. And then we see the Megloss and the Earthling and the Doctor all sort of Oh, that's clever. That's a clever thing.
Oh, I love
yeah, well done.
A tiny lump of...
Except that little slimy thing.
Yeah.
You could have just stomped on it.
Yeah. Was that Megloth? Yes.
He
must have modulated himself to a particular wavelength. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, so...
says he's turned into some kind of a light.
Yeah, but don't they just leave Megloth to sort of
they just slurp ignore away. Him. I mean, why don't
well,
they
Megloth,
destroy him?
Megloth goes back into the cactus in just a few seconds.
Oh, so basically the idea maybe to bring him back at some time in the future.
But I don't know why they don't just destroy him since he's...
The entire planet's about to be destroyed.
The Doctor just peeped out of the TARDIS door that doesn't normally open. That's really weird. Oh, uh-oh. I can hear a move. Hang on, something frightening's happening behind me. It's the co-founder of the show.
Oh, dear.
Yay.
Can you shut the door, please? Yeah, sorry, the co-founder of the show. She's only mute when the podcast is being recorded.
By the way. See, there's the... Megloth is now a cactus again.
Quatre. The countdown in French. Cinque. Quatre.
Why, well, Laura works at a chip shop. That doesn't sound good, does it?
The planet gets destroyed, including Megloth.
No. Why would that? It's a Sunday, Alicia.
No, post on Sundays.
Yeah, well, you should know.
Sunday, Sunday.
Yeah, so, that's it. Then does the Doctor take the Earthling home?
Yes.
This would have been a good opportunity to take him on board and not have Adric after all.
Now, obviously, they get lost in E-Space next. I have not seen that story. It's full circle, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, Romana says that Gallifrey has called him back at this point. But
right.
Are they on their way to Gallifrey when they get sidetracked into E-Space? I'm not sure.
Well, you'll find out when you watch the episode.
I haven't seen full circle.
Well, I'm sure it'll come up at some point on the randomizer, as you like to call it. So that is some...
I didn't name the randomizer. You named the randomizer.
No, I called it a random number generator, actually. But
no, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Oh, dear. Am I going to have to research this?
No. Oh, I found this random jingle, though. I don't know what it does.
Nothing.
Oh, yeah, nothing. Oh, no, it's trying to play it now.
Random jingle.
Yeah, it's... Oh, that's all it was. So I waited all that time just to play that, and I can't turn my speaker off. There we go. Yeah, so there we go. That was Megloth. I'm going to tell you what I think of it now, because I didn't get a chance to watch it until then. But I have seen it a few times previously. I love it.
January 18th.
I don't care about...
Randomizer has selected Revelation of the Daleks.
Be quiet. I just wanted... Shut up. I'm talking about my thoughts on Megloth. I just think it's... I don't really care about the massive... rewind bits on it, because I really do like this story. I think it's a really good story, well acted. I think the scenery's good, the special effects are good, and I think it's really, really, really one of my favourite Tom Baker stories. So, I think we'll move on to Debbie.
I just couldn't get into it.
Right, we'll move on to...
She doesn't agree. Move on.
No, I just couldn't get to it. Tom Baker's amazing, and his acting in this was brilliant. And I've watched this now 3 times, and I just still
yet you watched it 3 times.
Well, I have to memorize these things in case there's a quiz.
She's so ultra.
So do I.
Competitive.
It was such an interesting story, but I just couldn't get into it, and I cannot.
Interesting, but you couldn't get into it.
Well, it was an interesting idea, but I just found the acting too hammy, and the costumes were very distracting, and
I can hear myself. Hello, me.
I had to stop watching it the first time when they introduced Megloth as this cactus just sat there. I just felt it was just a step too far, really, for me. But that's it. I just couldn't get into it.
Blasphemer! Blasphemer! Right, Kirby, what do you think?
No, she isn't a blasphemer, because I've been aware of Megloth since I became, pretty much from the well, from the time I first started watching, I had seen the pictures of Tom Baker in the makeup. I'd seen pictures of the Madame Tussauds figure, which I posted a picture of it on 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook
group. Which you can join.
Yes. But I had never seen the story until a few days ago. And I was less than impressed, very less than impressed. It's silly. Tom Baker is great. I loved him. It's one of my least favorite Romana 2 stories, and I love Romana 2. And K-9 is a waste in it. And
yeah, John Nathan Turner didn't like K-9, so he will waste him.
And it was just silly and kind of just there.
Okay. Mary.
Well, I loved this one. What I usually like to do is, you know, watch these shows one episode at a time to try to see it the way the public did. But this one was so much fun, and that's why I liked it. It was a lot of fun. And I think it's because Tom Baker appears to be having a lot of fun. So I really joined up with him in the fun that he was having. And so I couldn't stop myself. I watched one episode right after another, which...
Since it took so little time.
Yeah. Well, there was so much padding.
That's a good thing about when you watch it, not for doing commentaries. You can actually skip past the titles, skip past these bits. So you can watch it a bit quicker than
I didn't have that option.
Blasphemer.
And when I read about how sick he was during this last year of his time with John Nathan Turner and reading about Turner's desire to change the series, blah, 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 I have to say that this one did not have that, you know, that hero-centric story, that there were other things going on as well. I just suddenly blanked.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah. And then Turner wanted him to be a little darker, less of a jokester. So I appreciated that, because one thing I find a little tiring about Baker episodes are, you know, what a jokester he is, so that you don't really take a lot going around him very seriously. But in this one, even he acted a little frightened at times. And his acting as the Doctor versus his acting as Meglos, I really admired that. So I was kind of seeing him, you know, more as an actor this time and less as just, oh, the jokey hero. So, yeah, and I love the costumes and I love the concept. And I liked those scenes where the human tries to break out, you know, and Megalos pulls him back in. There were just so many things about this that I enjoyed that I just kept going with it. So, yeah, I'm a big fan. So I don't know about the rest of the Turner era. I'm not too fond of E-Space. I really didn't like Leisure Hive. I thought Tom Baker was...
as we call it in Great Britain, Leisure Hive.
Kind of Leisure Hive, yes. Well, I'm American, so I say Leisure Hive.
So am I, and I say Leisure.
Yeah, we're all just Kirby.
At your leisure. Anyway, I found him to be kind of lackluster and anemic in Leisure Hive. So, yeah. But this one really stood out for me. I love this one.
Thank you, Mary. I think it's about time we went into a period of feedback. Be interesting to see if we can actually hear this.
Well, good evening, 20 Megabyters. Andy Lennon here. It's 10:13 on Friday night. I'm sitting here in the lounge with a laptop. Got a glass of Guggen Estate.
Well, there's a surprise.
Sauvignon Blanc, of course. 2012, so it's the old one. It's a Cyclone.
Top quality vintage then.
Nice and silly. That's quite palatable. Anyway, I've just finished watching Meglos. Did the ironing. Now, I don't actually remember watching Meglos when it's first broadcast. The only scene that rang a bell was the when they were stuck in the chronic hysteresis and Romana waggled K-9's tail. Now, I do wonder, has my subconscious actually tried to counter this out? Because it really was... we can see why it's so low down the ratings, aren't it? I mean, it's just really quite a poor story. I mean, let's look at the cliffhanger to start with. The first cliffhanger is the Meglos turning to Doctor. which is really quite frightening. The second one is Romana. Oh, yes, kill her. And then when it comes to Numor, she managed to talk her way out of it twice. And the third one, it's just, well, it's just so... I don't even want to talk about it. I just thought it was just so bloody awful. You know, there's a doctor under a pallet. It's about to come down on him, and he's...
it's me trying to find a can of lager.
Usually there's probably high points of it. I mean, it's... what was Megalos trying to achieve? Did we ever actually work it out and understand this? I don't think we really did. You have the bunch of the... well, it's almost like the Expendables Doctor Who style, with these ancient relics of mercenaries. Oh. And they really were. I mean, one could push and they'd probably fall over. You know, it really was... yeah. If they're the best that they could do, that he could get hold of, then, my God, he really must have been desperate. And you had some blooming awful puns in them. And, of course, the worst one was the... about the, when the Doctor wants to go into the... was the power room, was it? And let's see if many hands make the lights work. I mean, it just was starting to turn into Doctor Who comedy half hour then, wasn't it? We had K-9 apparently happily trundling through a jungle, and then suddenly, oh, my, need to be recharged, going back to the sitter, and then off he went. And then next thing you know, he's actually fully recharged. Also, the interesting bit was when the head mercenary was picking him up, and you can obviously tell it was just a cardboard model, where he just picked it up so lightly and tossed him around. I mean, it was just... some of the special effects were just blooming awful on this, weren't they? Really were. I mean, Jacqueline Hill, I mean, why did she have to come back in for this, you know? I mean, she's still got scary hair, hasn't she? But to think, you know, what she left all those years ago and she came into this, I mean, she must have thought, my God, you know,
what an improvement, yes.
Show gone to? How far has it fallen when we got... I'm sorry, but it just was utter dross. There's no real standout characters. You've got the typical rebels, you've got the religious leaders. I mean, I suppose you could say that the bit about Jacqueline Hill leading the religious people and, you know, Faith trying to overcome everything, and as being a fairly strong, committed Christian myself, I can understand how that would work, and also how that can be, I guess, in a way, corrupted, can't it? But it just didn't stand up. The whole story itself didn't stand up. You've got this dodecahedron that no one ever actually has seen, and you know, they said, oh, it's disappeared, and there it is. It's like the size of a matchbox, isn't it? I mean, yeah, it just... oh, dear.
So the crowd is starting to get a bit annoyed.
At least my shirt's now clean, I mean, and that's about the best you can really...
Shh.
That is really about the best you can really say about it, isn't it? You know, I mean, anyway, we'll have the test match tomorrow, so Kirby, no doubt you'll be following it intently, and what are we doing next, then? Anyway, folks, be seeing you.
Well, there's half of us that would agree with you, but then me, Mary, and the audience, which will say...
Yes, I totally agree.
But, like we always
thank
say...
Thank you anyway, Andy.
Yes, exactly. It's that's what we're looking for in this programme. Diverse opinions. So, I think we better move on to the next bit. Who's laughing? It's not funny.
Yes, it was.
You will laugh. Yes, this is Billy Kirkbright. At some point.
Hello there, this is Billy. Now then, it's now 5:30 in the afternoon on Sunday.
And you're watching some cricket and drinking some wine.
I finished watching Megalos about half an hour ago. I started watching Megalos about 12 o'clock, noon. Why did it take so long to watch it? Well, I'll tell you why. Because it was dead boring, and I kept falling asleep.
Oh, no.
I must have fallen asleep about three times through the entirety of me trying to watch it, in all honesty. This story did not particularly grab me. In fact, I found the plot quite ordinary, with some megalomaniacal alien being, that being Megalos, wanting or is trying to steal something from a civilization that was vital to them, and that, of course, being the dodecahedron. However you say it. I've been practicing that all afternoon. Anyway, and yes, a very subtle touch on that old age debate on science versus religion that I find so tediously futile sometimes, quite personally. I found this story certainly lacking in the atmosphere department. I found the monster being Megalos again, particularly in the spaceship room when he was speaking to the space pirates. Oh, I thought, how I silly.
Yes, particularly when he became Tom Baker, that was different.
Voice that he used for the voice of Megalos. In fact, when I saw that, it reminded me of some kind of second-grade ITV sci-fi programme from the 70s. I was never a fan of ITV stuff, to be honest.
Nor was I.
I was very loyal to the BBC.
So was I.
As far as watching stuff, and yeah, that's what it reminded me of. Unfortunately, the Gaztecs, or the Space Pirates, I thought were pathetic, which again reminded me of some kind of space opera sci-fi thing. You know, it just I thought their performances were silly. And added to the bad quality of this story and the production value of this story, in fact, I thought it weakened any potential for suspense or attention that this story may have had. Yeah, quite disappointing. But having said that, there are a few good points, a very few good trivia points, and that is that it was great to see Jacqueline Hill again as the High Priestess, Priestess of Lexa. And wasn't that scene between Tom Baker being Megalos and the Earthling when the Earthling was trying to free himself from the occupancy of Megalos? I thought that was very atmospheric.
You just said it wasn't.
One time where it was atmospheric in this entire thing.
Thank you very much.
I thought that was fantastic and very scary, very well done. But all that aside, would I go out my way to watch this again? Most definitely not.
Oh,
so there you go. That's my thoughts on Megalos.
I completely agree.
Have a fantastic week. And we're almost on the brink of a fantastic season of Peter Capaldi.
Indeed.
All the best. Take care.
Thank you, Billy.
Thank you, Billy, even though I don't agree with you.
Thank you, Billy, although I completely agree with you.
I'm sorry, just flushing my opinions down the toilet there. Okay, Jeff Waddle writes, sit down, make yourself comfortable, here we go. Originally titled The Comedy Cactus Caper, from an original idea entitled A Lot of Pricks,
should have... What is that noise?
It's the toilet flushing. I just said I was flushing my opinions down the toilet.
You can stop now.
Okay. I can't, it's a very slow system. Would you like me to start again?
No.
No, not the toilet. The feedback from Jeff Waddle. Originally titled The Comedy Cactus Caper, from an original idea, A Lot of Pricks, should have went like with that. This was the beginning of the end of Who for me. Utter garbage. Thank you, Jeff.
Yes.
I seem to remember Jeff saying this was the beginning of the end of Who on a few of the episodes we've watched recently.
But here, Jeff, I thought I was the contrary one, but it seems like you're more than me.
I get the feeling I'm in the minority for liking it. We've got this,
yes.
Though.
Mm.
Oh, hang on. No, we haven't. Stop it.
You and me both, Adam.
Yeah. But fortunately, I should say, as you know, Mary, I'm right, so...
For once, I'm on the side of right.
Apparently, yeah. Jeff's just made a comment on Facebook about something. Is he
go
listening?
On and enlighten me. Oh, dear.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast in Kirk.
Brilliantly done by myself.
The podcast needs you. Yes, you. If you hear something that tickles, titillates, or taunts you, email. We really would like to hear from you.
Yes.
So go on, do your duty. Keep calm and compose an email.
All double figures listeners.
If there's not enough feedback, that could lead to horrible singing. Take it away, Peter Capaldi.
Talking about Isabella's singing.
There is something the Americans call the War of 1812. Few of us over here have ever heard of it. While Napoleon was rampaging through Europe, the Americans attacked Canada, which was British. After Napoleon was defeated, British troops attacked Washington, D.C. and set fire to the White House. That was the 24th of August, 1814. The 200th anniversary is next Sunday, the day after Doctor Who returns. The day after that is a public holiday here. Just a coincidence. Meg Ross by Flanagan and McCulloch.
Flanagan
oh,
and Alan.
Blast. Here we go again. Another civilization that lives underground. The rhyming slang for wig is syrup. Syrup of fig. Wig. There are a lot of syrups in this one. The Doctor, or rather Megloss impersonating the Doctor, has to swear allegiance to Ty. Ties are cool. Jacqueline Hill is back. In the Aztecs, she was trying to stop human sacrifice. Here, she is all in favour. There was a film called Cactus Jack, which appeared in 1979, the year before this story. That did not have a cactus, though.
Was it kangaroo, wasn't it?
Megloss, the cactus.
Oh, no, no, that's
one of the gas tax desire to accumulate
Kirk
objects.
Douglas.
The cactus has a dry sense of humour. Bill Fraser was famous in TV sitcoms, where he usually browbeat his timid assistant. Here, his assistant is not timid, but he still tries to browbeat him. I'm surprised they did not pad out the part where Romana finds the Doctor and Megloss in the same cell. Megloss reveals himself immediately.
What?
They seem to have put a ball under K-9 to improve his cross-country abilities.
Yeah,
like they did with the Daleks
threats.
In the McCoy
uh-huh.
era.
Yeah.
The Doctor is responsible for the destruction of the planet of Zolfathura. He might have had to do it to save Tigella. I did not enjoy
Lawson?
This much. It seems overlong. It did not help that I was watching it on Daily Motion. Vincent and the Doctor. We did not know Robin Williams was as depressed as Vincent.
Mm.
Yeah.
Nano Nano. Bye for now.
Oh, thank you for that, Ian. I like the way you managed to work that all round to a reference and a tribute to Robin Williams. Well done.
Yeah.
Right, I was talking about news, and we did allude to this earlier on, that Jenna Coleman is rumoured to be leaving the show.
Rumour, yes.
Well, I've seen it in two different places now, but that doesn't rule it out as a rumour.
Rumours often, often have a sort of air of truth about them.
Well, as
but it makes sense, because that one season into the new Doctor, you know, is a good time to establish him. And while her worth is really high, this is when to leave and go do other projects.
I don't think she's really had the chance to do a. Hang on, let me finish. Had a chance to do a full series apart from the one she's in this time. So I think it would be nice for her to stay for one more series at least.
Yeah,
yes,
that's what
Kirby.
I'm thinking is that she's doing this one last series with the new Doctor.
Asta,
yes.
As Henry Mendoza on the Facebook page says, article checklist, unspecified source, check. Inaccurate/contradictory claims. The article says by the time she leaves, she'll be one of the longest serving companions and mumbles something about this Christmas. Check. No quote from the actor. Check. No quote confirmation from the showrunner. Check. No quote from the BBC. The BBC refused to comment. I call BS, is what Henry says, and I agree with him.
We like
this
Henry.
Is nonsense.
Henry is the man who enabled me to go and meet Colin Baker at the Doctor Who Experience by selling me his ticket. So good old Henry.
Oh, how nice.
Yes. And this is not showing up on any of the even unofficial, well, this it's showing up on some other pages that are just repeating it, but this is from the Mirror.
Yeah. Well, Mirror's like the Sun, isn't
it,
Debbie?
And the Mirror has done stuff like saying really strange things were going to happen that never happened.
Okay. We'll leave it at that then. Apparently the new title sequence has been fan-inspired. I'm quite excited to see the new title sequence. I hope they don't change the theme.
The new title sequence was posted once, and by the time I heard that it was out there, it had been pulled.
So you've seen it, have you? Oh, sorry,
no,
you said
not.
You hadn't seen it. Sorry, but I do apologise. So I'm not going to go too deep into news because we're all getting rather excited because it's not long to go now.
Is something happening next
as
week?
As we speak, it's about 5 days to go. And you lot, well, I'll probably get to see it before me because I'll be filming wedding at the time it goes out on the BBC. So by the time I get home for the wedding, God knows what time, I had a bath and that, 10 o'clock at night, you lot would have already seen it. So I basically have to switch off all...
Master?
Be quiet. Master? I have to switch off all media things so as I don't get spoiled.
Yeah, you're going to have to.
Mm.
Now, you will be seeing it... 10 o'clock at night? That's still 5 o'clock our time. And it's not going to be shown until... What time is it going to be shown on BBC America again?
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock, yeah. So you'll see it definitely before we will.
Yeah, well, that depends on whether I watch it before I go to bed or in the next morning.
It. How can you not watch it?
Because I might be exceptionally tired and want to be able to enjoy it wide awake rather than feeling sleepy.
Jeez.
I'm working. BBC Three.
No, I'm recording it, Debbie. You can get it on iPlayer. I just need to make sure I watch it before Alicia does. Because, of course, Alicia says she hates Doctor Who with a passion. So I want the opportunity of being able to delete it before she gets a chance to watch it, just to see how annoyed she gets. Right, we've got new members of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group to welcome. Rather oddly, Paul A.T. Wilson. I thought he was already a member. Don't know how that worked. Scott Loftus.
One of them hysterectomy thingies.
And that's, I think that's it. So we had Caleb What have I said about people joining the group with... names that are very difficult to pronounce. Anyway, now it's time for this week's very surprise edition of You Won't Get This One.
Uh-oh.
Oh, hang on. I nearly forgot.
Dun, dun.
Oh, you want that one, do you? Oh,
no,
right,
it's just
I'll say it again.
This
week's... Oops, I just knocked my can of Coke... lager over. This week's very surprise edition of You Won't Get This One. Oh, that didn't play properly. Right, this week's episode of the show is not to do with Megloss.
What?
I know, it's shocking, isn't it? I didn't have time to write questions on Megloss because I've only just watched it. I mean, can you imagine? We've just done a commentary on it, and I'm supposedly writing down questions on it as we go. Now, that would have been
We could have recorded on Monday.
And let me say, Kirby, your funny voice and will have no excuse on getting these questions wrong. No, this is a Doctor Who Trivial Pursuit edition of You Won't Get This One, and here are the questions. I have a dice in my hand, and I'm going to roll the dice for Debbie to decide what category she gets.
If you have a single one, it's a die.
No, that's Di Harris, who's one of the most recent additions to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group that you can indeed join, or indeed send feedback into the show, 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. Right, I've changed mine about the dice, because I thought I was just going to... Pardon?
You can't win, Adam. Just give it up.
I'm not going to do the die. I might die at this rate. Right, I'm just going to read them off in the order they come on the card. So, Debbie?
Yes?
Which Doctor's outfit featured an umbrella with a question mark handle?
I know!
I know that one. Sylvester McCoy, number 7.
Correct. Mary?
Yes?
What reason did Donna Noble give for having missed the Cybermen invasion that took place in Doomsday? Scuba diving in Spain, skiing in the Alps, sailing in the Bahamas, or nursing a hangover?
Oh, nursing a hangover.
Wrong. Anybody like to come up with the correct answer?
Scuba diving.
Oh, I think Debbie just got in there just slightly ahead of Kirby, whose question this is. In the story, The Empty Child... What spooky phrase did the child in the gas mask repeat over...
Are you my mummy?
No, I'm not. I'm just asking you.
Everybody's getting these easy questions. What is this?
Correct. Right, Debbie.
Yes?
In what year did the 10th Doctor... Oi, stop throwing stuff around. There's no need to get petulant just so you've got a question wrong, Mary. Now, come on. Right. Debbie.
A not so easy question.
In what year did the 10th Doctor meet the 5th Doctor in mini episode Time Crash?
2012?
No. Anybody?
2011?
No, the answer was 2007.
Really?
Yes. Mary?
Okay, I take it back about I'm the only one that got the difficult one.
Mary, what kind of monster was Captain Varga?
Ooh.
Captain Varga?
Yes, Captain Varga.
I have no idea.
Oh, don't ask me.
Nobody knows.
God. Is he
I get another tough one.
That's what she said.
Is it a Sontaran?
No, it's an ice warrior.
Oh, okay.
Right. Kirby.
Master.
Who played the warrior queen Katrika, or Katrisha, whoever it is, in The Mysterious Planet? Do you want the options or do you know?
Wait, don't give me the options yet. Give me the options.
We're going to get it. I'll give you the options. All right, then. Bella
Ember. Yes.
Joan what? Sims. Linda Barron. Kathy Staff.
Joan Sims.
Correct. Oh, I just dropped the pen. Sorry, I caught it. Right. Debbie.
Yes.
Third Doctor John Pertwee was a key cast member of a radio comedy set aboard HMS Troutbridge. But what was it called?
Navy Lark. Left hand down a bit.
Why?
That's what they say
at the moment.
Quotes.
Mary.
Yes.
On what planet does the Doctor first encounter the Mara, the snake-like demon that possesses Tegan?
Whoa.
I think I know.
Oh.
Whoa, are there options?
No.
Ew. Okay, give it to Kirby then.
Is it Kenda?
No.
No, it wouldn't be.
It was Diva Loca.
Diva Loca, okay. Yes.
Where does the name
Living
Kenda come
a Diva
from?
Loca.
That's why I remember it now.
Yeah. Sorry, Kirby, what did you say?
Where does the name Kenda come from, or am I getting that completely mixed?
It's the tribe.
Oh,
Kenda. Please.
Yeah. Okay, I haven't seen the story, so I don't know.
Oh, that's the excuse she's using this time. That's from Rhys Parton's book of excuses, chapter 14. Excuse number 12, I think it was, wasn't it, Kirby?
Right. Okay, so far I don't have any.
That's what she said. Right then, it's Debbie's turn.
Yes.
No, it's not. Whose question was the last one? This is Kirby's turn. I do apologize.
Master?
What was the name of the first episode featuring the Ninth Doctor?
Oh, I know.
No, wasn't that?
Oh, Rose. I know too.
Rose is the correct answer. So the scores at the moment are in last place with...
nothing.
Mary. In second place with 5 points is Debbie. And in the lead with 6 points, it's Kirby. This is Debbie's question.
Yes.
What military rank did Alistair Lethbridge-Stewart hold when he first met the Doctor?
I know.
Captain.
No. Kirby?
Colonel.
Correct.
Oh.
Mary.
Everyone knows that.
Yes, I didn't know that.
Mary.
Why? Yes.
Which Doctor's outfit featured a battered... I'll start that again. Which Doctor's outfit featured battered plimsolls?
Oh, yes.
Battered what?
Plimsolls.
Battered what?
Yeah,
or as you call it in the United
are.
States of America, baseball shoes.
Oh, that would be the 10th Doctor.
It would be.
Well, if they're battered, do you then deep fry them?
Plimsolls? There's a new one for me.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
You're still laughing about that joke.
Hmm.
Right, next question goes to... I've forgotten.
Kirby.
Well, you just talked to me, so it's got to be Kirby.
Oh, therefore, this is Kirby's question.
Master.
In which month of the year did the 10th Doctor make his first full appearance?
I don't know.
December.
Correct. That's
Debbie. Okay. It was a Christmas special.
Well done, Debbie. It's this is Debbie's question.
Okay.
What was the name of the planet that the Byzantium crashed on, allowing the Weeping Angels to regenerate in the Maze of the Dead? Now, there are options. If you don't use the options, you get an extra point.
Oh,
Use the options.
I'll get it if you the options.
Yeah, if I get the options, I would probably get it too.
Give it to Mary.
No, that's not one of the options.
Oh, Deb, don't be heroic. Just take the options.
Alpha Metraxis
is the correct answer.
Wikipedia is nice.
Oh, right.
Yeah, Mary.
Sure. Wiki.
On a black moon star of Bond film The Goldfinger, guest starred in Doctor Who alongside which Doctor?
Oh, Goldfinger.
Darn, I don't
know.
Right.
I know that one.
I'm going to guess it was the seventh Doctor.
No. Debbie?
Oh, what?
Not me.
Debbie? You're not Debbie, are you? You weren't last time I looked. Okay, nobody knows. The answer is the sixth Doctor.
Oh, I was going to say...
Well, we should have said... Yeah, so I did say Debbie.
For me,
but
it was between the sixth and listening. Seventh, yeah.
Right. In what story?
In Terror of the Vervoids. Right.
Oh, yes. Right.
Debbie, okay. I believe this is your question.
Is it? Okay.
I think it is, because the last one was Kirby's. No. You didn't answer me.
No, it wasn't. Was it?
No, it's Kirby's turn.
It's Kirby's turn.
Help me to keep
track? That was my question.
Because this lager starting to go straight to my head. Right, and who's Kirby's? Is it right? Again, Kirby.
Master.
When the 10th Doctor is transformed into a teacher named John Smith, what name does he give the diary that he fills with tales of monsters and other worlds?
Something things.
Well, yeah.
Oh, let me guess.
Go ahead.
2 points.
I have some of the name, I think. It's like The Diary of Impossible Things.
I'll give you a point for that. Mary, the actual answer was The Journal of Impossible Things.
She Journal of
one
Impossible
wrong
Things.
Word
okay.
wrong. Right then. So this next
okay.
question.
Is it Journal of a Diary?
Be
That's
quiet.
Why he gave it to
I
me.
I gave her a point.
Yes.
Right. So, Debbie.
Yes.
What was the full name of the Sorry. This is Carlsberg, probably the worst drink to drink when doing a quiz in the world.
Right. I'm on my second glass of wine, so it can't be worse than that.
Right, I'll try again.
At 5:15 in the afternoon?
Oh, yes.
What was the full name of the leader of the first human colony on Mars that the 10th Doctor meets? No, wasn't that?
Oh my gosh, what is
that? Oh, Angela something.
No, it wasn't. Anybody?
Mm. Oh, I know when you say it, I'm going to be so upset.
Yes, yeah.
Mm. I'll take it so nobody knows. It's Adelaide Brooks.
That's it, Angela.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Mary.
I knew Adelaide. What?
In the story, dinosaurs on a spaceship, which race owned the ship that Solomon stole?
Oh, I have no idea. Pass it along.
Come on, then. Waiting for
we'll
answer.
Wait. We'll wait for Debbie to wiki
it. You don't know it, then.
No, I'm not wikiing it. Dare you?
Liar, liar, pants on fire. If the shoe fits.
Too late. The answer's Silurians.
Silurians.
Oh, okay.
Right. Oh. The phone's ringing. Here.
It's my phone.
Oh, a convenient way to get out of the quiz.
I'm back.
Hooray!
Front and sides.
Not that anybody cares.
Right.
It's like not answering anything, right?
Whose go is it? Hello? That is the next question. If anybody gets it right, they can get the point. Whose blooming go is it? I've completely lost track
Kirby.
Of where it was. Kirby's, right.
The is point, Kirby?
Point for Debbie. I don't know.
What was the last question? And
the
then we'll know.
The last question was about the dinosaurs and the spaceship.
Oh, it was me.
Oh,
no.
then it's Kirby's turn.
Kirby?
Master? I thought it was after Mary.
Never mind.
Yeah.
This is your
go. The dinosaurs was mine.
Oh, okay.
Kirby, what name does Donna give to the Doctor's daughter when she is created in a progenation?
Jenny.
Good, because I couldn't say that word anyway. Debbie.
Yes.
What was Ace's homemade brand of explosives called?
Everyone knows that.
No, I can't remember.
Right, there are options. Though, which are
no,
yes, there are.
I know.
All right, then give it to Kirby.
Go on then, Kirby.
Nitro 9.
Right, correct. Oh. Mary?
Yes?
In Tooth and Claw, what plant does the werewolf creature have an allergy to? There are options, if you don't know.
Oh, please. Options, please.
You don't need options.
Be quiet. Orchids, thyme, mistletoe, or holly?
Orchid.
No.
Nope.
Okay. Kirby, you seem to know because you just said...
Mistletoe. Yeah, you said I didn't need options.
Exactly. Mistletoe is the answer.
Okay.
All right, Kirby.
Master.
Which famous female crime novelist did Donna and the Doctor meet in the 1920s?
Oh, my gosh.
No, it wasn't that.
Not fair. Not fair.
Agatha Christie.
Correct. Yeah.
Right, the scores at the moment are in last place with 3 points, Mary. Woo! In second place with 9 points, Debbie. And in the lead with 13 points, Kirby. Right, Debbie, this is your question.
Okay.
I think.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, sorry, I lost where I was on the card. Okay. Right, yes, I mean, Debbie, be quiet. What kind of alien used a perception filter to become a small boy named George, who, along with his parents Alex and Claire, was helped by the 11th Doctor? And there are options if you can't get it right first time.
No idea. No, give me
the options. Are Isolus, Tenza, Vesperthorn, Grask.
Oh, I want to say Vesperthorn, but I think it's...
No,
no, it isn't. Kirby.
I don't know. It's one of the first two. I'll say it's the second one.
Which is?
I didn't hear it exactly.
You should have been listening. The option there was ten. Oh God, the dog's trying to...
Where I said no.
Oh,
was
right,
the
it's a point. Tenza, yes, right, yes, it's a point.
Okay, I would have picked the same thing as them.
Master. Yes. But the Vesperthorn is the wasp from the Agatha Christie.
Yes, I know
Christie
it was.
Yes.
Right, the next question goes to...
Mary.
Right, Mary. Ingrid Pitt guest starred in Doctor Who twice. But in which Hammer horror film did she portray the title character, also known as Countess Elizabeth Magic? God's sake.
Pass it on.
Sorry, Magic's just burst into the room. Right, anybody?
Countess Dracula.
Is the correct answer.
If magic bursts like that, who cleans it up?
I've lost my rim shot.
Ooh.
Oh, there it is. Right, next question goes to
Kirby.
Right, what piece of Cyberman technology backfires and causes Jackson Lake to believe he is the Doctor?
An info stamp.
A correct answer.
Wow, very good.
All right, Debbie.
Yes.
What was Ace's real first name?
Oh, I know.
Oh, God.
No.
No. I want to say Judy, but it's not Judy.
No, it's not. Mary?
Dorothy.
Correct.
Yes. Yeah, I went for Judy Garland.
Yay, I knew something. I finally knew
yeah,
something.
Yeah, it was sort of Wizard of Oddish. Oz-ish. Oddish?
Okay. Yeah, that's right.
Mary.
Who's drinking the wine?
Mary.
No, I'm not.
Mary.
Mary, yes.
How many people were saved by being stored on a hard drive in the episode Silence in the Library?
How many?
Yes, how many?
Wow.
You won't get this one.
None of you won't.
500?
No.
I'm thinking like 5 people? Or is it everybody?
No. The answer was... Oh, no, sorry. The answer was 4,022.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I knew it was
that one, didn't you? Kirby.
Master.
With whom did the 11th Doctor visit California in Christmas 1952 alongside Abigail Pettigrew?
Marilyn Monroe?
Nope. Anybody?
Mm-mm.
Kazran Sardik.
Mm. Right. Oh, okay.
Debbie.
Yes.
What was the name of the Silurian warrior who deliberately poisoned Tony Mack to provoke his daughter into attacking her? Now, there are options, but you will get 3 points if you get it without them.
Not Vastra, was it?
No.
No, but you didn't wait for go for the options, so therefore no, the options are available to other players.
Yep.
Anybody?
Mm-mm. Give us the options.
Right. The options are Alea, Restak, Vastra, Eldaine.
The first one.
Alea.
Oh, yeah.
I really shouldn't give you points for saying things like the first one. You should actually... right, that must be Mary's question next.
Probably. Mm.
Bert Kwok appeared in the fifth Doctor story, Four to Doomsday, but as what? Which side?
Really?
Be quiet, or did Doctor point?
But no, no, I didn't realise that.
Magic. Oh, don't look like that. Magic's sitting in the corner looking all sulky. Have you done something?
He's probably dropped one.
Just make sure there's no turds. Steaming turd. Right, then, I'll start with a minute. Yeah, Bert Kwok appeared in the fifth Doctor story, Four to Doomsday, but at which... As which sidekick did he make his name?
Oh, my Lord.
There are options. There are options if you want the options. Tell me options. Right. Tonto, Robin, the Boy Wonder, Kato, or Penfold.
Oh, my.
No, I
don't know any of them. And I actually saw...
Debbie knows.
Kato. I know, too, but give it to Debbie.
Pardon, Debbie? Kato, potato is the correct answer. Right. Kirby.
see, that's why I went really, because I knew that one as well. I haven't seen Four to Doomsday.
Well, there you
and
go.
I have.
Debbie?
Yes?
Richard
Pryor.
That's
how sad I am.
Played the chief.
Wait. Whose turn? Are you sure? Whose question was that?
Robert After Clark me one. Comes Kirby.
Oh, all right. Oh, Kirby. Because you lot keep talking, I go wrong. Right, Kirby. Richard Pryor played the chief caretaker in Paradise Towers, but in which 1970s comedy did he make his name?
Oh, my Lord.
Pardon?
Yeah, really.
I know this one.
Give it to Debbie.
Good Life.
Oh, okay.
There's no way I would have known that.
We would have done. There were options, but you wouldn't let me get the sentence out.
Even the options would not have helped me.
Yeah, wouldn't have helped.
Right, okay. Debbie.
Yes.
Oh, I've lost where
Make
I was.
It an American one.
When did the Rani scientifically enlarged mouse eat... I started that again. I should say when. What? Shut up. I'm trying to get it right. I'm in too much lager at this stage. I'm very tired. What did the Rani scientifically enlarged mouse eat that led to her exile from Gallifrey?
I don't know.
Does anybody know?
I don't know.
You didn't get that one. It was the president's cat.
Oops.
Right. Mary.
Yes?
What kind of strange weapon does Rory's father Brian use to fight off a pterodactyl?
Oh, the little shovel, the little
I'll give you
gardening
that.
Shovel.
Trowel, yes.
Yeah, a trowel. There you go.
Right. Kirby.
Master.
What was the name of the story in which the third Doctor visited a parallel fascist Earth where the...
Inferno.
Don't get any extra points for interruptions, you know. Yeah. Debbie.
Is it me? Okay, yep.
What was Kirby last? So it must be you. Debbie. Mount Vesuvius erupted in 79 AD, destroying the city of Pompeii, and which huge rock and lava... creatures. Can I say that again in English? Mount Vesuvius erupted in...
Pyrobile.
No. Okay, well, if you understood it, therefore the mere listeners must have understood it. Right.
Why don't we call it quits now?
Because I've got one card left. Who's next? Mary.
Yes?
What TV show was hosted by the Android?
The Weakest Link.
Correct. No. Kirby.
Master.
Who played the Doctor between 1981 and 1984?
Peter Davison.
Correct. Debbie.
Mm-hmm.
Which member of the family of Blood created the Scarecrow foot soldiers?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
The son, but
it is son of mine. Well done, right?
Son of mine, yeah. Oh, good for you, Debbie.
Right, Mary. Which Glenn Miller swing number did the Ninth Doctor and Rose dance to in the TARDIS alongside Captain Jack?
Oh my goodness!
Are there choices?
Rhapsody in Blue.
Nope. Anybody?
Nope.
Nope.
It indicates my wife's state of mind quite often. That's a clue. In the mood.
In the mood. Oh, saying she's in the mood?
In her mood.
Whenever, by the way, going back to questions, whenever anyone mentions son of mine, I always think the Goon Show quote, son of a scientist and daughter of darkness, too, for the price of one.
All right, okay. All right. Yeah. Kirby, this is your question.
Master.
Who shot the master at the end of Last of the Time Lords?
His wife.
I'll give you that, I suppose. It does say Lady Saxon, his wife. I'll give you that one. Debbie. Oh, we'll give you the score, shall we? Do the scores first. In last place with 8 points, Mary in second place with 16 points, it's Debbie. And in the lead with 23 points, it's Smarty. Lordy. Smarty Pants, Kirby.
I don't have a hope.
Debbie.
Yeah?
Who was Martha Jones engaged to before she eventually married Mickey?
I can't remember his name.
Yeah, no good, me neither.
I don't remember
his name. To get the question right and earn some points. The answer is Tom Milligan. Mary.
That's right.
Oh, wow. Yes!
In which episode did Charles Dickens read excerpts from A Christmas Carol to a captive audience?
Oh my gosh, Ghostlight? What is it called?
No.
Kirby,
you seem to know because you went, no.
Unquiet Dead.
Unquiet Dead, yes.
Bring out your dad was the correct
Bring
answer.
Out yes. Bring out your dad.
Right, Kirby.
I'm not dead yet.
Master. Don't want to go
hang
on,
I've just picked up the same card. How did I manage that? It's really weird.
Ooh. Master.
It sounds like... Sounds like you're in trouble for something.
Yes, I apparently put a package of Flaming Hot Cheetos down and did not seal them.
Oh, dear. That's not the daughter that must not be named, is it?
Hang on a second. I couldn't hear you.
I said, is that me or her? Is it?
Oh, there's a squashed grape on the ground. Sorry.
Okay. Now, I'm just wondering if that's the daughter that must not be named.
Yes.
Who did her? Sorry, Louisa.
Okay.
Then we won't mention her. Mary.
Is it my turn?
Louisa.
Shh. Right. So whose turn is it? The plot.
I think it was my turn, wasn't it?
Okay. It's Kirby's turn. Right. What spare anatomical part does the 10th Doctor carry around in a jar? Why do you always get the easy ones, Kirby?
I know, he's getting all the easy ones. It's not fair.
Give it to someone else.
No, too late. You got it right.
Even,
don't even bother. Yes, it's a hand. Right, Debbie.
A win is a win.
What kind of pattern appeared on K-9's collar?
Plaid.
No, it's a tartan, sorry.
Yeah, tartan is plaid.
No.
She gets that one.
It's the same thing.
Plaid is tartan.
It says tartan.
Give it to her.
Right then, Mary.
Yes.
No, you've got the points. Insulting me live on
year
it.
Did the seventh Doctor say?
I would have thought you would say. Being sort of married into the land of Scotland, you would have actually said tartan. I was quite disappointed that you said plaid. Anyway, right. But you still got the points.
Okay, what difficult question do you have for me?
I have this. At the end of Asylum of the Daleks, what does Oswin Oswald remove from the database of the Dalek Parliament?
Oh, yeah. I know.
Oh, Debbie knows.
The Doctor's name?
Yeah, give it to her.
I'm going to give you that one. It's so close. It's what it says on the card. She removes all memories of the Doctor, so they have no idea who he is.
Okay.
Close enough.
Close enough. Yes. Kirby.
You're all being so kind, and I'm feeling so down.
Master.
Who did the Ninth Doctor say lived at 10 Downing Street when he visited in the year 1730?
I don't know.
Yeah. Anybody?
Ooh, 1730. Was it Queen Victoria?
No, it wasn't. No, it was Mr. Chicken.
No.
It's Mr. Chicken.
Yeah. Oh, the chicken.
Mr. Jeez. Chicken. Right, Debbie.
Chicken.
This is your last question.
Okay.
What was the name of the town where Carla Jex was hiding from Carla Tech, a.k.a. the Glun, the gunslinger.
Hell?
No. Anybody?
No.
Mercy.
No.
There's a town.
Mercy. A town called Mercy.
Right.
Of course.
Of course it was. Well, I mean, give us the answer then. Right, Mary.
Yes?
Professor Yana was played by Derek Jacobi. Yes, Jacobi, not just
so
Bobby.
So well, Jacobi, yes.
Who also...
Have any of you seen his show called Vicious?
Yes, it's magnificent.
Isn't it wonderful?
There's some other unknown actor in that as well, though.
I would think with a name like Viscous, it would be slow moving.
No, Vicious.
That made Debbie laugh, so it's got to be worth a... No. Obviously not worth a... Why is it paused? Come on,
sorry.
There we go.
Yeah.
My Max.
Gandalf.
Yes, exactly right.
Anyway,
I've lost where I was now. That was a Mary's question, yes.
That was the point, was to throw you off.
Yes, so the answers, the options are this. Oh, we didn't... I didn't even finish the question, right.
I know.
Oh, hang on, I can still hear you.
Jared Jacobi played, yeah.
No, Jacobi. I just did this. Right.
No, in America we say Jacobi.
Because it's wrong. No, right. Professor Yano was played by Derek Jacobi, who also voices in the Night Garden. But which of these is not a character from the show? Iggle Piggle, the Tombly Boos, the Waddle Gongs, or the... Ponty Pines.
From what show? Because I haven't heard of any of that.
In the Night Garden. Which of those?
I had never heard that show.
I haven't either.
Come on, Debbie.
Not fair. Not fair.
Debbie.
The Waddle
Gongs. I not only get the difficult questions, I get the ones about stuff I'd never heard of.
Talked over Debbie's answer. Debbie, what was the answer?
I said the Waddle Gongs, the third one.
Yes, it is. The Waddle Gongs, the third one. Last question, Kirby.
Not fair. I protest.
Must it?
Right. No. Very yes, this is your question. Quiz.
How much strength of voice does the loser have? Huh?
Master.
Yes.
I'm waiting.
I'm waiting for you. Right. The answer. Is, sorry. The question is not the answer.
It's good.
I should have done the answer, shouldn't I?
I'm kind of longer, right, okay.
Pauline Collins, who played Queen Victoria in Tooth and Claw, was nominated for Leading Actress Oscar for which of the following films? If you give me the answer without me giving you the following films, you will therefore receive 3 points. Right, the answers, options, sorry, are Educating Rita, Shirley Valentine, Steel Magnolias, or Beaches.
I haven't the foggiest.
Anybody?
Educating Rita.
Shirley Valentine is the correct answer. The final scores, therefore, in last place, 10 Mary, points, worry. Mary. Second place, 20 points, Debbie. First place, Smarty Pants, 26.
Wow.
And a little party episode of 20 Megabyte Podcast.
I lose under protest.
I should say party episode of You Won't Get This One, taking us into the new series of Doctor Who, which begins on Saturday. And I can't
And when
wait.
Are we going to record?
Monday.
Okay.
Or think Monday.
Monday.
Well, I'm on holiday that week, that's cool.
I'm on holiday that week, but I've been asked to... Oh, that's this week. Yeah, I'm on holiday that week, yeah. So I'm at the moment Monday, unless Deb says we're doing any trips, but I don't think we will do. I think she'll be working. Not you. Pardon me, sorry. But in the meantime, thank you for listening to the show.
Debbie,
I'm trying to say goodbye.
Will you be back but from your convention by then?
It's the weekend after.
It's the 23rd.
Oh, it's the 23rd, yeah.
Yeah, it's next week.
Well, then I can't go because I've said I'm going to do overtime. Oh, pants.
And also Doctor Who's on. Right, so that's it. Thank you for listening to the show. Sorry it's a bit long, but we were having too much fun. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
That was a party.
20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.